Yeah. Oh, yeah, you know what time it is, right? Best show time. We're here. On a Tuesday night, the beginning of June 2017. What's up, guys? Remember the Budweiser Frogs? They were cool, right? Bring them back. They're rebooting everything else, right? Time to reboot the frogs. That's the hashtag for tonight, reboot the frogs. No, it's not. Tonight, we have an exciting show for you. We got Dams of the West. That's Chris Thompson. He's going to be here talking to you about
being in a band, I guess. I don't know. We'll talk about drumheads.
I'm not sure what he's going to talk about. He'll talk and he'll play. And then later, Claire O'Kane's going to come by. This is one of those shows that you will look back 80 years from today and say, I heard it live. I was there. It's going to be like Woodstock. You're going to lie about being there. Right, Mike? It's like Woodstock 99. All the people who lied and said they were there. I lit that trash can on fire during the Red Hot Chili Peppers set. I was the guy on that plank surfing over the crowd when Limp Bizkit performed Break Stuff. Enough of this. Let's get to it. It's the best show. The number 201-332-3484. Some of you crybabies are always moaning you can't get through. Got some open phones now. Call! Yeah, check, 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 check. How's everybody doing? Welcome to the best show. Here we are on a Tuesday night, June of 2017. Welcome. My name's Tom Sharpling. I'm the host of tonight's episode. The phone number, 201-332-3484. If you want to get in on the fun, A little parched here. Mamacita? Mamacita, please bring me something cold to drink, please, Mamacita. Mamacita, please. I'm so thirsty. Please, Mamacita. Please. Oh, thank you. Mandarin orange. Thank you. Thank you, Mamacita. AP Mike, ladies and gentlemen. APMike.bandcamp.com. It's the site everyone's going to. They can't get enough of the masses shirts and the whatever else he's got up there. What other crap he's got up there. Look, people tell me when they order crap from him, it shows up promptly in a professional envelope. And, yeah, they're just like, this crap showed up. My order was perfect. All the crap showed up. I ordered a headshot and a shirt. And that crap showed up. I went to apmike.bandcamp.com. That crap showed up right away. He must have had that crap packed up. He must have packed that crap up right away. And mailed the crap right to me. So, tonight. We got Chris Thompson, you know him. Dams of the West is his band. He's from Vampire Weekend. He's out with his solo band. So no, it's a band. It's not solo. It's not like he's got a cymbals between his knees. They got a great new record out. Youngish American. He's going to be in a little bit. Then Claire O'Kane, our friend, super funny person, Claire O'Kane, will be here later. And, oh, what did we just hear? We heard Oyster. O-I-S-T-E-R. Oyster. It's Dwight Twilley's first band. Hozak just put a 2-LP set out of this archival stuff. And that song was You Were So Warm, which is on the first Dwight Twilley band album. That's an early version of it. Oyster! 2 LPs. 73 to 74. Can't beat it. Hozak, always delivering. Always delivering. So who's here tonight? No Dudio tonight. Dudio's on assignment. We got AP Mike's here. We got Pat's here. We got Martinez here. And you know what happens when Pat and Martine are here. I'm telling you guys right now, go nuts. Order, get pizza, get wings, whatever you... The last time they were here, a couple months ago, Martine and Pat ordered these wings that were It was rough. Tell them to go a little easy on the... Ask them if there's some sort of sauce they can put on them that doesn't make people not eating the wings want to barf. Maybe they have that. I don't know if that's an option at the wing place you go to. Just say some of the people eating these wings don't want to throw up. Like, we know the people who eat the wings want delicious wings, but there's other people who won't be eating them, and they don't feel like throwing up tonight because of the smell of these wings. So if you can ask at the place, I'm sure they can make that happen for you. Yeah, so Oyster. Hello. Hey, Okay, yeah. You guys want to do a wingman contest out there? Because Pat's nickname became Wingman. And they want to fight, I guess Martine and Pat want to fight over the Wingman name. One will be declared Wingman. I guess it's like a Highlander. There can only be one Wingman. Mike, you going to get in on this wing action? What are you going to get tonight? Pizza? Right? Get a nice pizza pie? Couple things I've been meaning to say. I keep forgetting. Best Show, we got the Patreon going over at Best. It's patreon.com/thebestshow. And that's how you support the show. We don't do no ads no more, except for these AP mic things. God help me with that. That's not an actual ad. That's a hostage situation. It's like, it's like I should be holding up a newspaper with a date on it every time I read one of those apmike.bandcamp.com ads. So yeah, you go to the Patreon, you give what you can. That's all we ask. You give what you can. The show's listener sponsored in that regard now, and it's just, yeah, if you can help out, you help out. And we mail stuff to people for helping out. We got stickers, and we got these pins, and then there's all sorts of things, and there's exclusive audio that goes up for people who give. Go over to patreon.com/thebestshow and check it out and support the show. How about that? Support the show. And you guys have to realize with these wings, just like Professor Griff said, the two wings are, they're both broken wings on the same crooked eagle. Remember that when you're eating your wings out there. That's what wings are. That doesn't exactly translate. I just wanted to show I could quote Professor Griff. It's a fun guy to quote. So, what else? Watch this Grateful Dead documentary. They put this thing up on Amazon. Did you watch this yet, Mike?
No, I don't have access.
Yeah, okay. Well, I do, apparently. Tell me what I can do to not get access. I watch this thing. What is it, 4 hours long? It's over 4 hours. And look, I'm watching this thing. It's a great documentary. It was great to watch. I had a great time watching it. Do I like their music anymore? Nah, not really, no. I think I like it less. I think they're showing them. It sounds like tuning. It sounds like they're still tuning while they're like, wait, I didn't finish tuning yet. You guys started the song? I guess I'll keep tuning. And they're all, I don't know. I've already said it sounds like that all the birds were playing, like late period birds playing, not hearing the other birds, trying to guess which bird song they were going to play. And they're like in isolation booths and they just start playing them. That's what they sound like. But look, this is what I'll say. I watch these deadheads, these deadheads. You know what I feel? I feel a little jealous. I'll admit it. I wish I could get into this thing. You don't think I wish that there was a band that I loved that suddenly there was like 10,000 hours of the band waiting for me? That'd be the greatest thing ever. No. I wish I could, it made sense to me. I don't want to be fighting this stuff all the time, but they stink. It's like, look, if made sense to you, it doesn't make sense to me. I wish it did. I wish it did. I wish I could sit back and listen to whatever their songs are. Sweet Chili Caboose, Boogie Railroad Blues. right? You know, old man McNamara's good time jug band blues, right? I wish it made sense to me. You know, cigar box boogie. Is that a thing, right? Dusty train car, right? Dusty caboose. Magnolia street lamp. Whatever their songs are. I wish I could listen to Magnolia Street Lamp and be just like, yeah, man, you got to check the one out they did at Hunter College, 78. The Magnolia Street Lamp from November 78. That's the one. And then they got this Al Franken. And he's talking about, well, I like Althea. I collect a different Althea. And they start playing this thing, Althea. I'm like, wait, is this guy qualified to hold public office? Like, this seems like an impeachable offense that this guy, like, is collecting versions of Althea.
Well, I really have to say the Nassau Coliseum 81 Althea is really the definitive.
Yeah, sounds like you're... It's a weird state, man. Jesse Ventura, Al Franken... Right? What are they doing? Putting an episode of Saturday Night Live together? Piece by piece? They're electing cast members? They elected a host. Jesse Ventura would host, I guess.
We've got a great show for you tonight.
I'll say one thing. You guys were right. There are no pens here. So you know what? I brought some from home. Whining and complaining when we did the complaint box. There's no pens. They were right. So I brought some pens. I need a pen now. Yeah, so it's like... I want to like it. I wish I liked it. I don't like it. I watched 4 hours of it. I've listened to the alternate version of Oxamoxa. What should I listen to, Mike? Live, Europe 72? That's the one they did at the college that everybody loves? These covers, though, just imagine you're Buddy Holly, right? And somehow you cross the plane somehow and get back to this plane. And you find out that this band has been doing one of your songs, right? Not Fade Away. And he's like, and they're just like, well, they kind of spread out on it, buddy. And he's just like, well, what's that mean? It's going to be like 4 minutes long? Well, buddy, it's 88 minutes long. And then he's like, I never played a show longer than 16 minutes. They do one of my tunes is 88 minutes long. And then he hears it. He's just like, so when are they going to play Not Fade Away? They're 40 minutes into it, buddy. You don't recognize it, do you? Those covers, they played like Dear Mr. Fantasy. I was like, oh boy. Boy, oh boy. The cover songs. They myrtleize them. But you know what? I'm tired of the thing. I don't want to be the person who just hate watches things anymore. I don't really do it anymore. I really don't. There's shows I don't want to watch, so I don't watch them. I ain't got time to see the good stuff. I wish I liked the Grateful Dead. I just don't. I can't revel in the bad stuff no more. That said, I made an exception last week and went to the movies and I saw Wakefield. Bryan Cranston, Wakefield. My friend Jason Walliner and I, made a pact that we would see Wakefield together. But he lives in Los Angeles. I live in New Jersey. How's that going to happen? He came to town at the last minute. We saw Wakefield. Oh, brother, on this one. It's a movie about a guy who's coming home from work. And look, this is the thing with Bryan Cranston. I think his acting is, he's big, very big. Not my favorite actor. I think he's a ham bone. And people are slowly starting to realize. But look, he's entertaining. It's entertaining. William Shatner is very entertaining as an actor. He would have been in Breaking Bad. If William Shatner was 45, he would have starred in Breaking Bad. Not kidding. Think about it, right? Picture him with his underwear, yelling at Jesse Pinkman. So we go see this thing, and it's a story of a guy who comes home from work, and he decides to not go home. So he goes up to his attic of the garage facing the family house. And he just goes in and then he just watches the family. And that's the movie, is him sitting in a chair watching his family wonder where he went. And he narrates the whole movie because he's like, "Well, well, well, what do we have here? A dinner party. I wonder who'll be attending." And he starts like rooting through the trash. He's eating out of the garbage can. And, yeah, kind of that's all that happens in it. It's him watching his family figure out he ain't coming home. And it's not good. Like, it's really not good. I felt bad. It's not very good. Then at the end, and it was exhausting. It was like almost 2 hours of watching a thing with just like a couple locations, and it's a guy narrating. It's like, felt like I was stuck in an attic. But look, he tried to watch it, stuck in the attic, and then the movie's over. Then Jason claps, and the other five people in the theater start laughing that someone would clap. I don't know. Look, I can't do it. I did it for that. That was the exception. I needed to see it. I'm glad I saw it. And I think there's a case that this movie is so over the top. It's so big. This movie could be one of those movies that people go, like, it could be like a cult kind of movie that people watch together and watch how big it is and how bonkers it is. What's the worst Grateful Dead cover, Mike? Dear Mr. Fantasy? Mm-hmm. And they get this thing. They got so many animals coming out to see them. Like, what if the people went to the Grateful Dead show, right? And then the Grateful Dead just said, "Hey, you know what? We're not going to play today. But let's all go clean that park up," right? Like, 5,000 of you people, go clean the park up. 5,000, you go clean that, like, stream up. And, like, you picture it, like, that many people could, like, or what if they're just like, "We need people to just ride these exercise bikes for solar power. Start powering things." Because that was out of control. Now, I know, Mike, you used to go to these Dead shows, and you took so much pride in ripping off the new fans, the ones who came on board with Touch of Grey. You specialized in fake tickets. And then what Mike used to do is he had this van. He might still actually be proud of this. I don't know. He had this van and he would look for people holding the sign and said, I need a miracle. And he'd pull up and he'd be like, you need a miracle. And he'd open the door. And then, they'd say, yeah, I need a miracle. And he'd say, well, you're not getting a miracle, but you're getting a nightmare. And then he had like this high powered, like, water hose hooked up and he would like blast them. It was like a fire hose from the back of the van. He'd send them flying across the parking lot and he would just drive all around the parking lot of these shows doing that. Anyone who said, I need a miracle, he'd say, you're not getting a miracle. You're getting a nightmare. Speaking of nightmare. One thing I didn't mention last week, I told you how I went to Ocean City, New Jersey, Ocean City, because I was in a bit of a slump writing wise, and then I went there and I forced my way out, I clawed my way out of that slump, and I wrote and I wrote like you never saw anybody write. I tell you, I finished the thing I was working on, and I felt so good, and that boardwalk was empty. Because it was right before Memorial Day. Then I finished on a Friday. And they were just starting to open things up. And I'm walking around. It's a nice night. I just finished writing this thing. I'm on top of the world. I'm like, I'm back. The kid's back. Right? I'm back. What else can I take on? I can do more. I got more to do. And then I look up. And there it is. That's right. The Ferris wheel. Now, for anybody who's listened to the show in the past, you know, I have a hard time with Ferris wheels. I rode one in Atlantic City and immediately panicked on it. And then I told the kid when I was looping back around, I took my phone out and pretended I was on the phone. And I was like, what? Uh-huh. Oh, okay. Huh? Oh, you're here? Okay. Well, let me get off this Ferris wheel then. And the kid working the thing didn't care. He didn't need this performance that I was doing for him. And I'm just like, oh, hey, I need to get off the Ferris wheel now. I got to go meet my friend. He didn't care. But I still did the show for him. He stopped, let me off. So I see this Ocean City Ferris wheel. And this thing's huge. This is bigger than the one in Atlantic City that I rode. This Ferris wheel is 144 feet high. And I'm like, I can do it. Watch me beat the Ferris wheel. So I go buy a ticket. Already weird. One, please. For the Ferris wheel. It's already a little troubling. An adult getting on a Ferris wheel by themselves. What do I care? You don't like it? Go complain to the mayor of Ocean City. Have him pass an ordinance. Two people per Ferris wheel, gondola. So I get in this thing. I'm online. Ferris wheel comes around, stops. They open the door. Take my ticket. I get in. As soon as that door shuts, what am I doing? Because I feel that thing rock. I forget that they rock. And I grab the middle pole in that thing like you'd think I was in the Poseidon Adventure trying to hold on from going under. And I'm like, because a minute earlier I'm like, oh, think about it, when this thing loops around, it goes up, the view, the beauty and the fresh air and all that stuff and get ready. Thing starts moving. I'm like, oh no. I hate this. I didn't beat the Ferris wheel. What do I think I'm doing here? Because you know what I forgot? I forgot about when the thing goes up and you're at that unnatural angle when the thing's under you. It's the worst. Who wants that? Because that thing's going up and I'm holding that middle of the support pole down the middle of it. And I got sweat pouring down my face. And it's rocking back and it's super windy. Now I'm realizing how windy it is when you just go up like that. Yeah, it's windy up there. This thing's rocking around. It's tilting to one side because there's no one on the other side. Again, part of maybe why one person shouldn't ride on a Ferris wheel by themselves. The cart tilts the other way. And I'm looking, I'm just, please get me to the bottom of this thing. Get me off this Ferris wheel. I hate this. And I hate the feel. I can already feel it. If I close my eyes, I feel myself going over the top of the Ferris wheel. That's the worst. That's all-time fear for me. And I'm like, wait, why did I do this? Who am I proving anything to on this Ferris wheel? What am I, Tony Robbins here? Right? Am I Tony Robbins? And by the way, that Tony Robbins documentary on Netflix. Man, the toilet mouth on that guy. Come on, tighten up, Tony. You're not cool. He seems like a narc trying to use like street lingo. Kids curse. Watch me curse this thing. Tell you, if I drop $8,000 or whatever it costs for one of these Tony Robbins seminars and he goes up there, I might as well be at the Bill Burr concert, the toilet mouth. I could have saved some money. I would go see Andrew Dice Clay. I don't know if Tony Robbins is going to get the hour back.
You know, it's a thing. It's hour back. Get it. Does that make sense?
Anytime you go to any sort of public speaking thing and the person on stage says over and over, does that make sense? A flag should go up for you. You're being indoctrinated into something. They're slowly leading you down a path. Does that make sense? Are you with me? Whatever. Look, he seems like a nice enough guy. This Tony Robbins, he was very funny in Shallow Hal. I'm waiting for him to do more movies. I was a little bummed that his follow-up to Shallow Hal was this documentary. Maybe he'll do Shallow Hal too. So, I'm on this Ferris wheel, and I'm at the top. Now they're like loading other people in, so it's stopping every 5 feet. And I'm stuck at the tippy top of this thing. And it's rocking back and forth. And I'm saying, just let go of the fear on this thing. And you know what happened? Nothing! I was terrified! And finally it loops back down, and I'm saying to myself, I gotta get off this thing. And I'm not going to play a game. If I'm looking for any personal growth, I didn't play a game on it this time. Thing comes looping back around toward the bottom. I said to the kid, yeah, I'd like to get off, please. And that kid at the bottom, I tell you, man, that kid got, oh, you want to get off? What? He was jerking me around like it was a joke to him. What's that? Yeah, I'd like to get off. And he like pretended he didn't hear it first. Yeah, hi, I'd like to get off, please. Oh, you'd like to get off, and the thing's still moving like he's going to let me go all the way past again and not let me off of it? Yes, I'd like to get off, please. Like, just clearly, he can see I'm panicked to get off this thing. Oh, you want to get off? And he let me go past the very bottom of it to the last possible point where I could, like, get off of the out of the car. without, like, falling. It was like if you're at, like, a red light and the light turns green and, like, someone's crossing the street and they just walk slowly in front of your car. Like, they just know you can't go. And they're like, what are you going to do, run me over? No, you're going to watch me walk extra slow. Kidding me? Was you 22? Yeah. Yeah, he was playing. Oh, well, of course he was. No, this kid was the funniest thing that ever happened, this kid. I was the first one of the season. I was in his, he probably went home that night. Yeah, first, got the first one. First what? Panicked. Panicked douche. Got the first one. Well, now I know it's summer when I get the first panicked douche begging me to get off the Ferris wheel. Like, that's his definition of when summer starts. Man, that kid. I tell you, the look he... And it was a game. I knew he was playing it. He knew he was playing it. Neither of us could admit that there was a game going on. But and he knew he won the game before the game began. He knew that he was the winner of this game. Man, did that kid love it. Let me off. Like, that's what he wanted me to get to. Let me off. Like, that's, he was, he would have been so happy. I was like, please, you gotta let me off this thing. I feel like I'm gonna die in here. Then he, oh, I'm sorry, sir. Oh, right. Let me stop the Ferris wheel, sir. We didn't even get to that point. Could you imagine? That's what you do. A grown guy. I just had the triumph. I got this writing done. I felt like I broke the slump I was in for months. And this kid, you took it away in one fell swoop, kid. You checked me. Maybe it was good. The kid checked me. Same old fears, man. Ferris wheels. I'll probably get on one 2 years from now. Think I can beat it. No, I can't. If anyone sees me getting on, if you're a Ferris wheel operator and you see me online, just tell me to just get out of there. Just say, just go away. What do you think you're doing? I'll give you the ticket to give to someone else. Best show.
Hello?
Hello, yes. Welcome to the best
show.
Hi,
Tom. It's Matt from Oakland. How are you?
Matt from Oakland. Is this really Matt from Oakland?
Yeah.
Is it?
How can I verify that for you?
Okay, let me ask you a couple questions.
Yes, sir.
How many strings are there on an electric guitar?
Six, unless you're playing a classical guitar, I suppose.
Wait, classical guitar?
Well, they have, you know, like a 12-string acoustic guitar?
Well, those aren't classical guitars. But do I know more about guitars than you?
Probably.
They have nylon strings. They got six, though. Is this... Look. We've been doing the dance on this. I'll still do the dance. Are you who
yes,
I
sir.
Think you are? Just say yes or no. Are you who I think you are?
Probably not.
Probably not. See, I knew it. I knew it.
Well, I don't know.
Well, you know who.
This
is not you. I can tell this is not the same guy.
Okay.
Is it?
Yeah. I mean, I've called before, certainly, yes.
You know I think you're someone, right?
Yeah.
And are you pretending to be that person and letting me think
no.
I think you are?
No.
Are you a recording artist? Yes or no?
Yes.
Were you in a band?
I mean, yeah.
Were you the front man of your own band?
Can I talk to you about something that I heard on the show the other day?
Well, let me just answer these couple. I'm not going to name names with anything. Were you the front man of your own band?
Yes.
Are you now in another band that you're that you were not a founding member of?
Yeah.
Is that band popular?
It depends on your definition of that, I suppose. It's not like Chainsmokers popular.
Yeah, look. We could all dream, right? To be Chainsmokers popular.
They're very popular.
They are very popular, yes. So, you're in a band, but you tour all over the place?
I'm doing a bunch of laundry right now.
No, I know you, okay. I know you're not touring right now. You know the band I think you're in, right?
I think so.
And are you actually in that band?
Yes.
Are you going to play New York anytime this summer? I'm not going to say where or when.
July.
Are you going to play with another band that I've discussed on the show recently?
You're taking it too far, man.
Okay. All right. You're taking it too far, man. I appreciate that. Can I get into that show? Can you get me in?
Absolutely.
Like full.
Already
I want
in the
full.
Planning, actually,
I want full. I want like the Lammy that has a number on it.
That's what you said. I was going to give you the drum techs laminate. You said you want one that's more sophisticated than that.
I don't want the drum tech. You know what's another thing I noticed, Matt, is when you watch when Pink Floyd reunited for that Live 8 concert, right? Like they
yes.
did their final.
No,
thing.
I don't know. Actually, I have no idea.
Okay.
You're
well,
about.
Do you know the you know Pink Floyd? Have you heard of them? Is that how far back
Certainly.
I'm going to take this thing?
Yes.
Okay. Well, they reunited for this benefit thing that Bob Geldof had done called Live 8, right? And then you watch it. It was broadcast around the world, and you see Roger Waters on stage playing bass. And he's boom, bing, boom, 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 bing, boom, right? And you see David
Isn't
Gilmour.
Isn't he an anti-Semite?
Look, you got to ask him. I don't know what his deal is.
All right.
I just want to like the music. Can you not? Does everybody have to be so?
I'm not trying to be PC. I just thought he was like openly anti-Semitic. I'm sorry.
I swear to you, I tune it out because I just want to listen to those same records I liked when I was 10.
Mm-hmm.
So look, he's playing up there. Then you got the other dude, David Gilmour. He's soloing, right? Then you see the drummer and you see the keyboard player. And the thing they have that the other two don't have, wristbands. Like colored wristbands, like they were clearly stopped at some point and had to be told, like, who are you? I'm Nick Mason. I'm the drummer of Pink Floyd. Let me see your wristband. Okay, yeah, you're a performer. But they didn't make David Gilmour or Roger Waters wear the wristband. They made the other two dudes wear them.
I know that you don't like to traffic in rumors and innuendo, but and alleged. But can I tell you something that I've seen with my own eyes in regards to that?
Yeah, Matt.
You know who does not like to be stopped at any point in any backstage setting, and who will get into physical altercation with anyone that tries to stop him or does not recognize him?
Who's that?
Jared Leto.
Really?
He does not like that. Not like not being recognized at his own show.
Are people worried that he's going to go into like Joker mode now? Does he like have
you
that
know,
hanging over them? Like
the thing that I saw firsthand was pre-Joker, so I wouldn't know. But
now it would just be like, oh, you don't want to stop me. Like
it'd be
right?
better than what he used to do.
Yeah. So look, what was the thing you wanted to talk about? Because I'm believing that it's you again. And I wish you'd reach out to me. I wish you would just reach out to me.
Yeah, I have.
Do you or don't you ride, do you have a motorcycle?
I do. And on the back of my helmet, if anyone is in the general vicinity, I have a Best Show sticker.
Do these other dudes in your band know about the Best Show?
Somewhat. They're not into it as much as I am.
Now I believe it. Now I actually completely believe the staggering disinterest that
it's hard to explain unless you sit down and listen to it for like an hour, you know?
Yeah. Well. So what did you see, my friend? And look, reach out, email me. Just email me. All right.
So it was either on the Half Hour of Power or it was on the show In the Dark that you did.
Yeah.
That someone was calling talking about how Lars Von Trier is going to do the reboot of the Yahoo Serious movies.
Okay.
Right? And I heard a rumor from a very knowledgeable person about 2 months ago that Lars Von Trier and Bob Mould have been pranking people for a long time by appearing as each other unbeknownst to anybody.
Well, that sounds interesting. I need to get to the bottom of that.
Well, I figured you might know because you travel in those worlds.
You know the worlds I travel in? Oh, what's that like? Oh, you know the worlds I travel in, but then I ask you about the world you travel in, you start.
Well, I mean, you want to know what the guys
going to see? Stop the amount of dancing that's going on. What's that?
You want to know what the guys from A Simple Plan are up to? I can tell you that. You don't know what the guys from A Newfound Glory are up to. I can tell you that, but I don't know what Bob Mould's up to.
All right, look. You and I, this is meant to be. I feel it. It's coming together. It's going to converge. I'm going to be at this show. You and I are going to have the greatest time, right?
Yeah, I mean, I would love that. I've been to your shows before.
Yeah. Which one? San Francisco?
I went to see you and John in San Francisco.
Yeah.
On the last tour.
Why don't you say hi?
Because you were busy. You're very popular amongst
you.
You could
have told me who you were, and I would have dropped. I would have shoved the rest of this riffraff out of the way.
I bought a poster.
All right. Well, that's nice of you. I would have shoved the rest of the riffraff out of the way. I really would have. I would have told him, get out of the way. Well, VIP coming through. Right? So look, email me. I'm serious.
Do you not know anything about Lars Von Trier and Lars Von Trier?
I know nothing about it. Now you've piqued my curiosity, and I think it's not you again. I think it feels like I'm being pranked here.
I promise you, I'm not pranking.
Okay. Well, email me. Email me. You got my email?
Right.
Email me.
Okay.
All right, man.
Thank you, sir.
All right, buddy. Thanks.
I appreciate
you. I'll see you in July, and I appreciate you.
All right. Oh, yes.
Okay, bye. Nice guy. Hey, Mike. Is Chris here? By any chance? Let me ask you first. Did the Wings show up? They didn't order. What are these guys waiting? Well, you want to go to bed with a stomach ache?
No, actually,
yeah.
Martin had curry last night. Mike doesn't want any, so.
Yeah. Just eat the wings if you want. If you don't want to, then don't eat the wings. What are these guys going to beg? This is when I miss Dudio, I got to say. Dudio, you give him an angry whopper. He'll say, yeah, I'll have it or not. This thing, I got this Pat and Martini. I mean, what do you want? Okay, fine. I'll pay you guys $10 to eat wings. Is that what you want? I'll just pay. That's all you wanted to hear. I'll pay you to eat the wings. I'll pay for the wings and $10 above the cost of the wings.
Okay, how many do you want us to order?
Look, you get whatever you want. You can take it all home. I'm fine. And if Chris is here, you can come in and just talk, and then you can pop back out and do your guitar. You don't have to be prepared now. You can come out and just hang out for a couple minutes. Then you go do that thing. Looky Lou. This is unbelievable. Can you believe it, Mike?
Yeah. Where should I sit?
You can sit in the fancy blue chair. It's all you. So Dudio's on assignment. He didn't want me to talk about what he's doing. And this is it's a little embarrassing. I think I remember I told you he went to Los Angeles because he was going to meet Baby Groot, and he's still going. Baby Groot invited him abroad. And I don't think it's Baby Groot. I just think it's some dude with a plant. And he just like sets it out. And he has like a little microphone in it. And it starts talking to Doody. He's like, I am Groot. And Doody is like, oh, hey, Groot. What's going on? I am Groot. And then Doody is like, what? You want my credit card? I am Groot. Okay, well, it's a MasterCard. It's a 5-4. Oh, my God. Look who's in the studio. Can you believe it? Chris Thompson.
Hello. Thank you so much.
Oh, what? Let me turn your mic up here.
I'll take it again. Take it from the top.
Let's do that. We'll redo that. We're going to back it up on this. Well, looky-loo. Look who it is here. Chris, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me.
No, thanks for coming. This is exciting. For people who don't know, you, your day job. I guess it's your day job, right?
Depends on how you want to categorize it. I think if you know me from anything, it's from this.
That you are from Vampire Weekend.
Yes.
That you, the stick man.
Some might say I slap the tubs.
You slap the tubs. You're a tub thumper. I don't want to say stick man because it might imply you're like Tony Levin, that you have like a Chapman stick. Like you're not up there going bing,
bing, bing, bing. I got 2 Vic Firth 5As and a 4-piece kit.
You're locked in behind the drums, the traps.
Yep.
As they call them. Drumheads, what are we talking here? What are we talking? Coated? Clear?
Oh, man, I don't even know anything about drumheads, to be honest with you.
It's just whatever is set up for you is yes. What you play. But look, you've been in Vampire Weekend for, that's 12 years now?
I think it's, the official anniversary is February 6, 2006. So
11, oh, wow.
11 plus.
Okay, yeah. And what are you going to do for the big 12th birthday for...
Oh, man, I think we're probably going to... We usually go bowling on big occasions.
Sure. Big for the band birthday.
Yeah.
That's not weird
in any way. Probably be out in Van Nuys or something.
Sure. Yeah. You can just head out and have a big cake. Happy 12th birthday us.
Yes, absolutely.
But now, the band, you did an album a couple years ago. It's been a couple years since the last one. You cast your fates to the wind.
I did.
And you said, I am getting out from behind this drum set, and I'm picking up the guitar, and I'm standing in front of that microphone, and I'm going to sing these songs now, and let someone else get behind the drum set.
Well, I was thinking about doing a Foo Fighters documentary, and I was like, you know what, why don't I just do it myself?
Sure. So you're going back to like that original Foo Fighters, the thing where he played all the tracks on it. Or as I like to call it, the Foo Fighters album that I like. I'm not going to drag you into it. You have to go to festivals and see people at these things. This is just my words for myself alone. And you have this band, Dams of the West.
Yes.
And now that means, that's from it's a literary reference.
Not to me, but if there is one.
Now what is it? What does it mean?
Well, it was a little bit conceptual, a little bit specific. I had read some articles about some arguments over
words, literary okay, right. Words,
over some people thinking that dams that were built in the 1950s have outlived their usefulness.
Okay.
Let the rivers run free.
Yeah.
And other people saying, just give us a little bit more money. They're mm-hmm. still working great.
Yeah,
and I don't. I sort of thought as a white guy doing rock and roll stuff in 2017, that I felt on the infrastructure of the middle of last century. Here I am, sort of seemingly, yes. If not already, so increasingly obsolete.
Yes,
and mm-hmm. I thought, and you know, infrastructure is kind of cool looking too.
And the record's really good. And
thank you.
It's really, it's kind of, you know, it's hard to do. First of all, do you want something to drink? Do you need anything?
I'm okay, thank you.
You good? Hey, guys, would you mind, you put the air on? You know, don't worry. We got the Patreon going. We can cover the AC. You know, it's a tricky thing for music is anything that resembles like wit is a hard thing. And personality is such a hard thing to pull off. Especially for somebody who is, this is you trying on a new thing mm-hmm. now. And I have to say, I thought it was funny and witty and smart in a way that is not, it's they almost sound like pejorative. They almost sound like, those almost sound like
things you'd say. And to some people, those are
yes. pejorative. But it wasn't. It was just so effortless in, it was all of those things, but in a very, it was like a conversational stream of consciousness kind of thing with the way the words were just kind of flowing with this. And I was very impressed by.
Thank you so much.
The voice that you have going so quickly on your solo endeavor.
That, I think, I spent the most time and the most time freaking out and then the most time working on the lyrics, probably. Mm-hmm. 'Cause I felt like most of the other stuff I'd been doing for a decade and I felt confident and comfortable in some new stuff, but stuff that I'd done that, I felt like I had experience in, that the lyrical part was the thing that both freaked me out the most, and then, I spent the most time trying to, like, get it right, get something that felt unique, that felt, this word's a little bit loaded, but authentic, or, like,
yeah,
you know, something that felt like, that if I'm going to do, which I, mm-hmm. if I'm going to do this, if I'm going to put myself out there, if I'm going to, you know, commit myself to the wind, as you said, that, you know, it might as well be honest and something that I actually want to,
yeah.
sing and present.
Well, it definitely shows because it was great to see that you had, because that's the kind of thing that can be for so many people can just be such an evolving process. And this is your first time out of the box in that chair.
Mm-hmm.
And you did it. You did it, Chris.
Well, you know, I did have 10 years to think about it.
That's true. I guess the second one is the truly terrifying one where you're going to be.
Right.
Oh no. Like, wait, 11 more
right,
songs.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so the record came out a few months ago,
mm-hmm.
and you've been touring all over the place.
We have. We've done a full nation bit and sort of a halfer.
Cause you opened for, Father John Misty for shows and what now, what is it? Cause you're, look, Vampire Weekend has reached a certain level of success.
Mm-hmm.
Where you'd say like, yeah, I don't know if Radio City, no thanks, little cramped for our.
Although who knows, we've been gone for a minute.
But now you're back in the van.
Back in a different one, but back in a Honda Odyssey.
Okay, yeah. And what was that like? Because that's like all the way back to the beginning. Because in the scheme of things for bands, you guys popped. Relatively, like, I mean, I know, look, you definitely, it didn't happen overnight, but it was like the first album blew up, which most people don't get.
Tell me about it, am I right? yes, I think that from my impression, which could be incorrect, I have a very specific point of view.
Mm-hmm.
I think we did all the steps, but some of them quite quickly.
Yeah.
So we did it. We did a few full nation tours in a minivan,
mm-hmm.
And then a few in a smaller van, and then
yeah. I mean, it kept going in the right direction.
Certainly.
Like that's the thing. Like a lot of people are just like
that is indisputable.
We can't do this van this time. I guess we can fit. If you need a bass drum, you need a bass drum.
I just heard a really fun theory that apparently. I don't know those guys, but apparently Spoon start off in a minivan, as most mm-hmm. a lot of bands do. But then when they outgrew that,
mm-hmm.
they just plussed up to two minivans.
Okay.
Which feels like instead of getting into a bigger van, just keep the luxury of the minivan and just have two of them. That yeah. sounds like a great idea.
Yeah. Do you ever see when Emerson, Lake, and Palmer had three tractor trailers going, and on the roof of them, they put an E on one, an L on the other, and a P.
They each had their own
yeah,
semi?
Their own, yes. And... I think one of the funniest things when you talk about like rock excess, Carl Palmer built this drum set and it was like I forget what it was made of, but he made it and it was just too heavy. Nothing could support it. It was just like too, it was like some like,
you have to give up the riser or give up the set.
Yeah, but it was like made to like, it was like no stage could support the weight of this thing. And then when the roadies were like, like irked at him.
Certainly.
He would have like this, I'm pretty sure I'm getting this right. He had like this overhead kind of gong thing he was hitting, and they would like raise it. Like they knew where he needed to be to hit from the, yeah. So now he's just like, has to like pop up a little bit one night. The next night he has to pop up a little higher and just like, they were playing with him. And let me just say this, prog rock, next week there will not be a best show for the first time in a long, long time. I will not be here next week. Why? I will be at the Strand bookstore doing conducting an interview, a conversation with Dave Weigel, who wrote a book called The Show That Never Ends about the history of prog rock. That will be next week, next Tuesday night in New York City. I will be at the Strand. If you want to go, there's tickets and people can go and it'll be fun. The book's great and it'll be interesting and it's a fun story of his book telling the story. You don't even have to like that music to just like the crazy people who made the music. Just like the 4-hour Grateful Dead thing I watched. Are you a Grateful Dead fan, Chris?
Not to the depths I think that many who consider themselves fans are, yeah. But I have enjoyed some of their music, although I agree with AP Mike, and I sort of cut off in the late 70s.
Sure, you don't like that keyboard sound, maybe, creeping in. Is that what it is, Mike? Mike doesn't like Brett Midland. Mike has told me before, he loved Keith and Donna, of course, when the Gottschalks entered the picture, and Amy Gottschalk, of course, was there. No, she's not in the band. She helps with the Patreon. It's a name drop. So, but Keith and Donna joined. And that was kind of like, when you're watching this documentary, you're just like, oh, great. It's like a second Pigpen is in the group now.
I was going to say, did your opinion on Pigpen evolve at all after the documentary? Or
I felt sorry for him. He seemed very sad. Because the band just grew past him, and then he's just this guy who's just like, I wanna go, I gotta get down, oh, and like they're just like, we're kind of not doing that most of the time now, and they like bring him up, it would be like bringing up just like somebody just juggling or something. It was like the equivalent, like he did a. It's like he was talented, but not like...
In a way that they needed
it. Yeah, they didn't need it anymore. Yeah, I kind of felt bad for him. So you, Chris Thompson, the band, Dams of the West, the album's Youngish American, singular, Youngish American.
Yes.
You are the Youngish American.
Yes, a slightly fictionalized, but yes, that's the general idea.
And You did these videos for the record, which are fantastic, really funny videos.
Thank you.
And one of them tapped in. I thought one of them, the one, what was it for? Death Wish?
You got to give me a little context. I can tell you, I can help you out.
You're wearing all the you're flying the flag with all your NBA.
That happens in a few things, but I think Death Wish is the one you're talking about.
That's the one.
That's the Easter egg for the heads.
Yeah, that's when you were showing. It was just like, well, Richard Jefferson must, it's like, it's the Venn diagram of Richard Jefferson and Vampire Weekend is that video.
That was the elevator pitch that's how I got a record deal for Dams of the West, was essentially just Richard Jefferson meets Vampire Weekend.
Yeah. And for people who don't know, Richard Jefferson is an NBA player who played on the Nets during one of their heydays, right? He was a rookie.
His first year was their first finals, and that's when they hooked me, yes, as a big Nets fan, mm-hmm, not really realizing that their general mode is quite bad. And that was an aberration, yeah, as opposed to the norm.
That it's still you. So, yeah, and he's still playing now. He's one of the few guys from that class of NBA players. What would that be, 2000, 2001?
Like 2002, right? 2003, yeah.
And he's like the old man on the Cleveland Cavaliers. And he's still just playing. But you, in this video, you have all your Nets gear out. You're wearing Richard Jefferson. I'm trying to think what else I, who else was in that? An Armand Gilliam jersey, right? 43.
Actually, that was a Chris Humphreys.
Chris Humphreys. Oh my God.
Which was purchased somewhat. That was purchased during the Kardashian era.
Sure. When he was, when
I think betrothed, but not yet married.
Yes. He was. And for, I'll give some context here for basketball, because some people say to me, I love when you talk about basketball in the shows. And then other people are like, I have no idea what you're talking about. The Nets are this team. They started on Long Island as a part of the ABA, which is a rival league to the NBA, which was like a freewheeling, fun league. And Dr. J, everybody knows who Dr. J is. He played for the Nets. Then the Nets merged. The ABA and the NBA merged. So four teams went from the ABA to the NBA. And the Nets were one of them. And they were promptly bad for, from that point, years. For 25 years. They had a run in the early 90s that didn't really go anywhere when they had Derek Coleman and Kenny Anderson. But then 2000, 2001, this team, and they actually made it to the finals twice, right?
In a row.
And lost both times to the Lakers and the Spurs. And then they were bad for 15 years.
And here we are.
And then they traded away everyone. Then they moved to Brooklyn, and then everybody was like, here come the Net. And I remember because Jay-Z was part owner, and he was just like, the Nets beat the Knicks in like a intercity game, and then Jay-Z's like, this is the Nets. It's like, the Knicks are awful, but Jay-Z, the only thing I want to remind you, it might say Brooklyn on the uniform. It still says Nets on it. It doesn't say New Jersey anymore, and it now says Brooklyn, and it's black and gold, not gold, silver or white. What is it? Black and white,
generally
right?
Generally white, yeah.
But it's, as long as it still says Nets on it, you got some bad times ahead. It's frustrating, right?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how deep into sports that you normally get here, but, I would say that the last 5 years have been terrible because we've sort of out-Knicks'd the Knicks.
Yeah.
We've sort of done the same stuff, but worse, gotten to the same place. But now it seems like our GMs seems like a smart guys from the Spurs, and hopefully we're on our way up, baby.
Well, here's the fun thing also. The Nets traded away what would have been like the number two. No, the number one pick.
This year, the number one.
The number one pick, of course. They traded away for all these old dudes where they were trying to win it all at once, and then they didn't.
That was our shot.
And now they're stuck with the memory of these old dudes who are no longer there, and they're not good. And they're bad. The Knicks are so bad, and the Nets are so bad. The Knicks are just like spectacularly bad, where it's like drama and fighting, and it's
the Nets
public.
Are just kind of boring.
The Nets are just like, oh, boy, the Nets are bad. You know what's exciting? I went to a Nets game a couple years ago with my friend Hayes Davenport, co-host of Hollywood Handbook, and we're there. And then the Nets were making a comeback, and they're hanging just like they would always do. They'd be down by 18, and then look out. Here come the Nets. They got it down to – they're only down 8. And then it's down 6, and it's just like they don't get any closer than 6. Everyone in the building knows it, including the Nets.
I've been to a few of those.
Yeah. Games. We're just like, they're exhausted now because they got it they got it close. And you just know the other team's like, all right, we got to turn it back on here. But I look down on the baseline, and who's banging a thunder stick? I'm like, is that Morgan Spurlock from Supersize Me? And then I go on Twitter, and I tweet, is that you at the Nets game, Morgan Spurlock? At Morgan Spurlock? Within 30 seconds, this tweet has been favorited by Morgan Spurlock.
Nice.
And it was him.
Dream favorite.
And he was banging that thunder stick. It was. And that's maybe the level of like the Nets aren't exactly the sexy draw. Like, you see, like, a Knicks game, and it's just like, oh, it's Denzel Washington right. and Howard Stern and all these people. And, like, a Nets game, it's kind of like Danny Aiello, because he was – Danny Aiello used to be such great friends with Jason Williams, the murderer, right. the guy who – because here's the thing, Chris Thompson, of Dams of the West – Vampire Weekend, youngish American in stores now and on all your internet providing services.
All your ISPs.
All your ISPs. I used to write for these basketball magazines, and they would get me credentials, and I would get them usually at Nets games. So I'd go.
To Continental Airlines or?
The greatest. I'm sorry?
To Continental Airlines or?
Yes. Yeah, it would be, it was both. I overlapped for the 2 years they were in Newark. But I would show up. They feed you for free. Then they give you, you're sitting basically, you're sitting courtside at these games. And then, halftime, you go walk back into the press room. There's snacks laid out. And like.
We're talking high quality snacks or just like Cheetos?
Notch up from Cheetos.
Okay.
The kind of thing that you'd realize that now someone from the Nets was swinging by Costco and buying like their cookie tray.
Okay.
Like right. You didn't realize it then, but it's like, yeah, I think these are Costco cookies, which is just, they're just sugary then. So then after the game, you have to go like interview whoever I'm supposed to go interview, and you're down in the locker room. And more than once I saw Danny Aiello in the hallway outside the Nets locker room.
Just chopping it up?
Just hanging out, laughing it up. And then Jason Williams, who was this funny, oh, this guy was he was the funniest, most personable guy. He was like, he had this career trajectory where he was just going to be like the media star. And then he shot a limo driver by accident and tried to cover it up. And went to jail. It's a very sad story. He had a very sad life. He made huge, horrible mistakes. Totally paid the price. Was in jail for years. That's the Nets experience right there. It's like their fun guy is in convicted of murder or whatever. Manslaughter. I don't want to. So, Chris, you know when people always say, like, this guy is the that of basketball.
Yes.
Like, who would you say, if you had to say, like who's a player you wish someone would say you are the, like, oh, Chris Thompson, are you kidding? The NBA equivalent of him is blank.
I'll say, keep it somewhat topical, I'll say Kenyon Martin.
Okay. Went to Kenyon Martin's house. I went there. I interviewed Kenyon Martin in his house. Was a very nice guy.
Was it a good interview?
It was. He was at that point out in Alpine where all the athletes live. And I went to his house. Very nice guy. Also went to the home of Stephon Marbury nice. And interviewed him. And that was as weird as it gets. At one point during the interview, I was talking to his sister, I'm talking to him, talking. He takes his clothes off and takes a bubble bath with his kid. And I'm just watching him. He just starts taking his clothes off in front of me and walks and gets in a bubble bath with his kid. And then I'm talking to his sister for a half hour while he's, and didn't say like, hey, I'm going to do this bubble bath thing now. Yeah. Just, I guess these guys must just be so used to just taking all their clothes off and just walking around in front of everyone. It just was not, it's not what I'm used to exactly. So you would want to be Kenyon Martin. Solid.
Solid. I think, moments of brilliance. And seems like a very good teammate.
Yeah.
But, you know, never necessarily the superstar.
Yeah. Did you read that thing where he talked about playing and he just talked about, like, punching dudes and stuff?
No,
it's a great thing. An interview with him recently. I'll find it. It was so he just talked about like the straight up violence that goes on in the NBA, and it was fantastic. It was just, cause he's like one of those old, he was like an old guard kind of player, already, not from the,
yeah, yeah.
But not an old, in a, he was almost from a different era in a way,
mm-hmm.
where he was the kind of guy who would just like lay someone out if they were bothering him.
Right.
So who, what about like if you were to say, like, what would Father John Misty be if he was an NBA player? Oh, who would he be?
Gilbert Arenas? That was my first thought. I don't know why.
That's a really good one. Yeah, that makes sense, right? Just kind of.
I think minus the gunplay, maybe.
Minus the gunplay.
Oh, who knows? I don't know. What...
Look, you might be backstage one of these shows and suddenly you'll start arguing with him and then he walks out and he comes back
yeah.
and you're like, oh no, Father John Misty has a gun. Because Gilbert Arenas got in something. Did you ever, do you know Joe Mandy? Do you know Joe? He's a comedian, Joe Mandy.
I know of him, yeah.
He got into a Twitter fight with Gilbert Arenas,
oh,
which
nice.
Is one of the funniest. I don't think Gilbert's on Twitter anymore. I think Joe worked Gilbert Arenas out of the NBA. I think he accelerated the end of his career. How about AP Mike? Who would he be in the NBA? What would you picture him as a Joe Wolf type?
Was it Greg McCullough? Todd
McCullough. Yeah? Mike, what do you think of that? What's that?
He was a Nat a Sixer.
Yes, he was, yes. He was a guy who,
he said one of the funniest things when he was Nat Sixers Nets.
Mm-hmm.
And when he came back to the Nets, his press conference, he said, I just feel really good for all those kids who can go under their bed. Pull out their Nets Todd McCullough jerseys and wear them again with pride.
Yeah, I picture Mike as more of a, let's see.
This is a tough
Mike's got like a, Mike's got like a Bill Wennington kind of vibe. Like he's on a championship team, the best show.
Obviously.
And, but he's like an able role player. Who, once in a while hits the winning shot. What do you think about that? No, Mike, you're more like a Bill Paxson. Not Bill Paxson. Jim Paxson. I don't know who you are, Mike. You don't exactly, yeah. I want people to suggest it. You can do on, people on Twitter should tell me who Mike is, the NBA equivalent of AP Mike is. Now, Chris, do you want to play a couple songs from the album? Would you grace us with that?
Absolutely. I have two prepared that I worked on this afternoon.
Okay. All right.
I got the up-tempo single.
Okay.
And
the emphasis track, as they say in the biz.
I think I got in the biz too late. I never heard that one. And then the song aforementioned Death Wish.
Okay. So do you need to... step out and get yourself ready? Can you just sit here and do it? Whatever you need is what we will give you.
I'm going to need to clear my throat once.
Okay.
And then I'm probably ready to go. Right. I think some mics need to be placed, though. I'm going to actually have to switch chairs real quick.
Okay. Mike, someone's saying you're Zaza Pachulia, who's a cheap thug. Are you a cheap... I don't know. So, Todd McCullough was also a big pinball player. I remember that was a big point of pride for him.
That was one of his personality checks?
Yeah, that would be like his, in like his fun bio, be like, Todd enjoys pinball.
Oh, like Brooke Lopez loves comic books.
Yeah, exactly. Todd enjoys getting traded. And
up and down the Jersey Turnpike.
Chris Kamen, that's a good one. You do have a Chris Kamen. I can picture that, Mike. Mike?
That seems like a winner.
Chris Kamen is kind of like he looks like if Bonnie Prince Billy was 7 feet tall. Yeah. J.J. Barea. No, I don't know about that. Mike doesn't give a... Let's see. No, he's not like Robert Horry. Who broke your heart more in basketball? Who of all the years you played, who what was the guy on another team who just you felt it and got sad, Chris?
You mean my personal, like, JV high school career, or as a fan of the game?
You could do both.
I think the guy who made me sad was Penny Hardaway.
Okay.
Just because I really, really liked that Magic team mm-hmm. when he came up, and
yeah,
was a big Lil Penny fan, obviously. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, he just sort of, the way he fell off, never quite got it back.
Yeah, it was a bummer.
You know, aging.
Yeah.
The approach of death and all that.
It was all the approach of death. Penny Hardaway.
That was the first time I've yeah, really known
Just, yeah. Yeah, Bill Walton, because he's a deadhead. Think about that, Mike. Yeah. Bill Walton. Kevin McHale. What are you, Kevin McHale, like one of the all-time greatest players. Oh, this Mike, I tell you, this is what I deal with. I tell you, and I'm saying this to that other guy, Matt from Oakland. You got to email me. You got shows coming up. You got to get me in. I got to feel special. I got nothing. I feel so... Right, Pat?
Yeah.
Right?
I don't think he's going to, though.
I don't think he's going to either.
Yeah.
I'm going to be outside. I need a miracle outside of Citi Field. So, Chris, the floor is yours.
Okay. I'll start, excuse me, with the song called...
That was the clearing of
that
throat.
That was my one.
Okay.
I'm allowed no more.
You're only allowed one. That's it. Yeah.
Called Death Wish. And it's sort of the little slowed down Troubadour version. It's only so much I can do with an acoustic here, but we can go for it. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
It's all yours.
Must have some kind of death wish. Didn't really start to floss till I was 31. Guess I'm gonna miss this was my youth full of intermittent fun. Every time I think it's over, find the money for one more year of war. There's another issue with swimsuits in a juice bar next to the liquor store. And it feels like the ranch in Montana I once worked on, where I learned when you butcher a cow, it's gross, so try to keep your gloves on. And I don't wanna be perfect, no, I just wanna fix the fixable things. Oh, I've run all the numbers, still don't know just what my time is worth. Think I'm ready to be a father now, but I wanna get some pizza first. And it feels like the Unitarian Church I was raised in, where they taught me that Jesus was probably short and not super thin. No, he didn't need to be perfect. No, he just tried to fix the fixable things. And I don't need to be perfect. No, I just want to fix the fixable things. Oh, I'm working on my empathy. I'm working on my self-control. I'm working on accepting the world and trying to keep my clothes off the floor. I'm thinking about my future, about my health through the decades. I need to reassure myself that I'm more than just my Saturdays. I can only kill myself slowly in so many ways. And it feels like the random bed I once woke up in, with no idea where I was or how my head had started bleeding. And definitely was not perfect, no. Hadn't yet tried to fix the fixable things, and I am still not perfect, no. I just wanna fix the fixable things, oh.
That was awesome. That's great. That's the that was the first song you had put out from the album.
Yes, yeah.
And that's Death Wish. Now, what else do you have for us?
Was it the Emphasis track?
Yes, the Emphasis track.
This one also had a video for it, the second one that came out. It's called Tell the Truth.
Walk across the London Bridge to Havasu City. My heart knows it's man-made, but my mind thinks it's pretty. When the lake was full was a bold idea, no doubt. The hubris remains, but the water's running out. Tell the truth, keep your word, promise something and deliver it. You're not bulletproof, that's absurd, no one is, and you're no different. Now that I coast on rye sobriety, I still be the toast of Thai society. I tell the truth, keep my word, promise something and deliver it. Far from a cloistered yard, there's so much evil, with unfamiliar names and where simple things are illegal. It makes you cry like the Colts are leaving town again. Plus they seem way more demanding than all the secular friends. Tell the truth, keep your word, promise something and deliver it. You're not bulletproof, that's absurd, no one is, and you're no different. Let's take the van and go for a ride. My face can use a tan on the driver's side. I tell the truth, keep my word, promise something and deliver it. And despite all the superstars, she still listens to small men in big cars. She tries her best to find the limits of her body, and she's not impressed with premium economy. Tell the truth, keep your word, promise something and deliver it. You're not bulletproof, that's absurd, no one is, you're no different. Still friends with an ex of my wife, you can't unbend the triangles of life. I tell the truth, keep my word, promise something, deliver it.
Awesome. That was great.
A couple of flubs in that one, but it was all right.
Chris. Nobody. Now, do I call you Dams of the West when you're in music mode, and then you go back to being Chris again?
You know what? My pan music character seems to be CT.
Okay.
Which I don't feel like I'm in real life, but a lot of people
like
call me CT when they meet me. If they meet me on the street a block from a Vampire Weekend show, which is the only time they'll recognize me.
And they'll be like, CT.
What's up? Yeah.
And then there's a CB.
He's Bayo.
Everybody's just Bayo.
Bayo.
What up, Bayo?
Precisely.
Yeah. So is there not, like, look, I track Ezra's always talking, like, throwing out little tidbits here and there. When would the next record come for Vampire Weekend?
You know, I'm generally supposed to say, I can't say anything, but I'll give you a best show exclusive diversion tactic. It'll come out when it's ready.
That Oh, my goodness. Are you sure you're going to get in so much trouble now?
I'm going to get a call from legal after that. No, I think we have done this a few times now. And anytime you say a date or put any sort of timetable, then it becomes a thing. And then that becomes its own story.
Yes.
So I, unfortunately, alas, cannot say more than that. But it will exist.
Yeah. But you're like into it to some degree.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's just when it happens, it happens.
Unfortunately, that's all I can.
That's fine.
You know, actually, my lawyer's calling right now.
Right now? No. Look, I say this. It's like people. It's like, do you want it now or do you want it good or great? It's like, which will you get to pick one? It's like, you can knock things out. You guys could be knocking things out. And then, but the rub is that no one would want it. No one would be asking when's the next one coming because.
If you put out too many.
Well, yeah, because if you're hurrying through these things, then it's like, oh, I don't want to hear that. It sounds like something that they rush through. And some people work super fast. Ty Siegel puts out like two albums, three albums a year. And they're all great because that's the rate that Ty moves at. And Michael Cronin does those records with Ty, and he does his own album once a year. And but then other people do move at a different rate, and they have all side projects too. And they're busy, and they're all over the country. And
so I invite all the
best. Am I apologizing for you?
For us, yeah.
Look, lay off!
I'd say come visit us at our 12th band birthday party. Next February at the bowling alley in Van Nuys, California.
Bowling alley, yes. But you are from New Jersey.
I am, yes.
What town did you grow up in?
A very small town called Imlaystown, which I think people up here consider South Jersey, but I consider to be Central Jersey. Okay. It's right. It's the exit before Great Adventure on 195.
Sure, near Jackson.
I was a lifeguard at Hurricane Harbor for one summer, too.
At Great Adventure.
The water park attachment.
Okay. And what was that like?
Extremely boring, except for my one big save, which was at the end of a day. I think this guy just like didn't want to leave, mm-hmm. but he was kind of fronting like, oh, I can't get out of the wave pool. So it was already kind of chilly. I had my cool zip-up windbreaker on. I'd take the windbreaker off. Uh-huh. You sure you need help, sir? Yeah, I can't get out. I had to jump in, give him my little Baywatch red thing, and drag him out. Wow. That was the only action I saw summer, which, to be fair, is okay.
I
prefer less action than more in that particular context.
You only played God once.
Yeah. Which was summer. enough for me.
You only have one person that's out there saying.
CT, man.
CT did it. And then he's just like, I'll do whatever. What if it turns out that guy ran the music business, and that's why everything's going so well for you guys, where he's just like
behind the man behind the scenes. He hasn't reached out to me, but he's taking care of me along the way.
I gotta tell you, I had a bad run. I was gonna kill myself at Hurricane Alley. What was it?
Hurricane Harbor.
I went to Hurricane Harbor that day, ready to end it all. And then this kid threw the red buoy out to me. Is that what you did? You threw a.
I jumped in and then extended my red buoy towards.
Okay,
because I could. I was at a depth where I could. My feet could touch.
And then he was like, he was just like, whatever that kid needs, he just tells his people to keep tabs on you. So he's just like, hey, you know that kid? He's in a band,
or he will be in 5 years. He'll be in a band in five years.
He got a drum set. That kid just got a drum set. Track the music side of it. And then just like, push it through. Make them huge. Now that would hurt your feelings. Though you'd be like, wait a minute.
Yeah, this would be all right.
And then but how far would it, what if you found out he's paying everyone at the show?
Oh, is that, like, it is goes that far? Deep? How deep does it go?
It's like a Florence Foster Jenkins kind of thing where it's just like, did you see that movie?
As long as no one tells me.
Yeah.
If just let me, you know.
That's exactly it. I'm okay not being in on the thing as long as
don't break the wall.
Yeah, as long as I don't find out. I'll say here on thank you on Twitter, I'm looking entertainment producer Josh Church. saying, don't they realize that in my fantasy basketball team, I'm a four-time finalist? That's right. Thank you, Josh. Wait, because what is this now? Hold on. Why am I reading this on the air? This is the most boring thing I've ever done. What's that say? Food here. So the wings are here, Pat?
Yes.
How many wings did you guys order?
We just got 15.
Just 15.
1-5?
1-5.
Yeah. Do you need money?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
That's what that exchange was.
No, that's fine. How much money do you need? Here's $600. $100, $200, $300.
I can confirm that this is
true. $400, $500. Here's $550 for whatever food you have out there. I'm showing off in front of... What is it? $40? You can say it. Does that include the tip?
No.
Okay.
So, $600.
$41. No. It's 50. All right. Mike?
Yeah.
What did you order? No, just a couple slices. Do you want some pizza, Chris?
I might partake. Now that I've sung, I can eat dairy.
Yeah, you did it. Exactly. Now you can have that clog of that dairy phlegm clog. Bring it on. Mike?
Yeah.
Is anybody else here?
Yeah, Claire's
here. Claire, you want to come in and say hi? Why do I say it like she's... I do this thing. It drives me up the wall. I talk to people. I slide into this thing as if I'm talking to, like, everyone 7 years old. I'll be like, so is Claire? And I'll be like, how are you, Claire? And you'll be like, good. I'll be like, so are you having a good time? Like, I'm talking to, like, a four-year-old. This is Claire O'Kane. This is Chris Thompson.
Hello, very nice to meet you.
Good job.
Claire's a popular comedian.
Yeah.
You are.
I'm very popular.
You are. You're here.
I got some weirdos who like me.
That's all of... It's just like... It's a matter of how many weirdos you can wrangle
you
to
can
your thing.
You can amass enough weirdos.
That's all it is.
I got a gaggle, for sure.
You've got a gaggle of weirdos.
Yes.
Soon that gaggle will turn into a herd. And then a... What? What's the other groups of animals? What?
A pride.
A pride of weirdos.
That's what I'm looking for.
Yeah. Pride of weirdos.
Mm-hmm. Strong... people instead of these weaklings.
Now, your audience seems like they'd be very physically fit. But the alternative comedy world, now they just seem it's like a Jack LaLanne thing up in there. Who's that?
Well, the wings.
Second round of 15.
Yeah. Slow down with these wings.
Who's Jack LaLanne?
Who's Jack LaLanne?
I'm 16 years old.
Well, I'm 78 years old,
so
we'll meet in the middle on this.
Mm-hmm.
Jack LaLanne was a fitness guy who, he was a super old, he lived till it'd be like 100.
Yeah, yeah.
And every year he would do, he had this show, like, I saw the very tail end of it when he was like way past this thing, when I was like a little kid watching TV, he'd just be this weird V-shaped guy who would be wearing like a jumpsuit. Like a red or blue jumpsuit. He kind of pioneered that look for me, like the track jacket.
Track grandpa.
And track grandpa.
Mm-hmm.
But then he would always do this thing where he'd be like, I'm still physically fit. I'm going to pull this boat with my teeth for my 89th birthday. And he'd like swim and pull a boat. And you'd be like, wow, he's doing it. Then there's just a point where you're just like, anybody worried that this dude's going to die pulling a boat?
Well, they probably weren't his real teeth at that point, too.
That's fair. He might have just said...
He had ringer teeth?
Yeah. Let him go.
No doubt.
Let these teeth go. Yeah, he probably like turn a crank to like tighten the teeth. Now, Claire, okay, you are from California.
Yes.
But you live here now.
I do.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Now you're in the New York groove.
Back in the... I'm back first in. Now.
You're initially
entering
in
the New York
groove. Yes. Mm-hmm. And you are having a good time with all your, you and your comedy pals?
I'm having a good time.
Making mischief?
Yeah. I'm really tired right now.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So,
okay. Well, you're waking up.
I'm waking up a little bit.
You have
bit.
One of those Coors Lights?
I got my Colorado Kool-Aid.
What is it? Colorado Kool-Aid. Kurt Vile came in here last week. He comes in here a lot, and I love him. He's just talking about, he calls it Colorado Kool-Aid.
Mm-hmm.
No,
I like that.
No free advertising, too.
I didn't know that was a thing.
Yeah, I didn't either.
Right?
I think he made it up because he's a poet.
He is a poet.
I wouldn't doubt it.
What's the biggest crowd you ever played for, Chris?
50,000 or so.
What? Now, oh, what? Yeah, you're in it.
Yeah. Like,
oh, I forgot.
Yeah. And what is that like when you're just going? Is that some festival thing? And
that was Glastonbury. Yeah, that's okay. Sort of the,
oh, wow,
the biggest. Because
cool.
Even if you're in the smallest stage, there's still like 15,000 people.
Yeah.
There's just so many people there.
So it's like 5-0. Not 1-5, which is the wings.
Right. I thought they were ordering 50 wings. It's, yeah, 5-0.
Yeah.
That, I mean, you half remember it. The first time that happened was on our first album, and I was a 24-year-old idiot.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So it didn't really dawn on me that this was like a thing that people worked their lives for. And
mm-hmm.
I'm just like,
yeah.
It was crazy, though. It was a gray, rainy British day. A lot of them have flags, so they tell their friends where they are. So very, very brave party.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Cool.
Is that what that is when they wave those flags around?
I always think of that it shows your friends I'm under the Tottenham Hotspur flag.
Sure.
Whatever.
And you wave the thing, and then they're just like, you're 4 miles away.
But it's also a way of showing your personality. I think flags have gotten more, as more people do it, it's more personalized.
Sure.
More.
And it's
fun.
Just, it's fun for everyone else, right? Especially the people behind you,
if you're
waving a flag.
It's not annoying at all.
It's hard enough. It's like, now I can't see the television screen that I was watching.
I paid $600 to look at a big TV.
Yeah, and I can't see it
right
now.
And it's raining.
It is raining. So you're at that thing. Can you even feel the energy of that many people? Is that just like...
It's, at that point, I remember that one in particular was like feeling... Because I'm not a trained drummer, so I was I still am figuring out at this point as we go along. But I felt like John Bonham, completely unearned, unearned. But it sort of like, and I was such an idiot that I decided to bait these 50,000 British people by wearing a shirt that had Diego Maradona on it, who has a historically legendary cheaty goal in the World Cup against England. So that's a very
smart
move.
Did you get
move.
Hit with like a clump of mud?
No, look, if I was the singer.
Yeah.
Yes, but
you would have.
Yeah. If I'm slapping the tubs in the back, no one's really paying attention.
Ooh, slapping the tubs.
Yes.
I like that, too. With your Colorado Kool-Aid.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, you just back there, Glastonbury, crack open a Colorado
Kool-Aid. Slap some tubs.
Yeah. And then you wound and you're like, boom, 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 with your double bass drums. You're just like, I'm John Bonham. Mike?
Yeah.
Mouthful of pizza. Mike, brr. Who's good here? All right, three. I'm going to tell you this, Mike. Enjoy that pizza. I've got nothing but, and don't take this the wrong way, I know I'm going to hear this all night long. People wonder if your head's still in the game. They think the calls are at an all-time low. They think the screening, the word I keep hearing over and over is non-existent. Mike says line three. Best show.
Hi, is this Tom?
It is. Hi, you're here with me and Chris Thompson and Claire O'Kane.
Hey, my name is Domenica from Shoreline, Washington. This is my first time calling, so I'm pretty nervous. So,
Welcome, Domenica. Shoreline, Washington. Where's that? Where's that?
Just north of Seattle. It's basically Seattle, but the suburbs.
Do you know who says that that's not Seattle? Someone from Seattle. They're just like, yeah, that's not us. Right? You know that whole, the snobs in Seattle, right?
Yeah.
They drive you up the wall, don't they? Right?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I'm kind of sort of one of them because I don't like to admit I live in Shoreline, but but then again, I don't know. It's where I live.
And do you go around pretending you're in the movie Singles?
You live in one of those singles I could. Contests? I could if I wanted to. Not into the Shaggy look or like flannel and.
Mm-hmm. Who's the all-time greatest Seattle musician, Domenica? Say it. Not Kurt Cobain. Say it. Say it.
No. I mean, he's fine, but.
You know who it is. Say it. What's the best band ever out of Seattle? No, right? You're looking at me troubled.
Give me a second. So many band names are passing
She's
through
Googling
my head.
It. She's Googling
you it. You can
what,
do it.
What, Nirvana? Like, they're.
No,
not even from Seattle.
Kurt Cobain was in Nirvana. Mudhoney!
Oh.
Yeah, I like Mudhoney.
Yeah, well, they're the best band. And Death Cab for Cutie! And the Sonics.
Yeah. I
you
think.
Rank them however you want. Then Nirvana. Then Tad, then Nirvana.
Ooh, Tad.
I saw Tad and Nirvana play at Maxwell's in Hoboken. Well, I'll tell you this. The timeline-wise, it was before Kurt Cobain died.
Sure, sure, sure.
And before Nirvana was popular.
Mm-hmm.
So just somewhere in that.
I don't know why I needed a year.
That's all right.
Like it would even matter.
I'm going to say this. Tad was so much better than Nirvana that night.
Wow.
Tad was just better live than Nirvana. Nirvana's perfectly fine. I love that first sing. Love the Sliver single. That's the best thing Nirvana ever did. Then they decided to sound like Boston. Right?
I think that's
a little bit. No, it sounds a little bit like Boston, that Nevermind album. The production on it, it's a little.
Clean? Too clean?
No, it sounds like Boston. If you think Boston sounds clean, I don't know. Chris, you hate Nirvana. Right? I'll let you expound on this.
It says on your shirt, you hate
says,
Nirvana.
I hate. Yeah. Tad was better, it says.
Yeah.
That Tad was better that night. No. Guy wrote great songs. I'm not taking that away from him. But it's like the one album sounded like Boston, kind of. And then they kind of chickened out on the next album where they made it sound crazy and then someone yelled at him at the record company. And they're like, let's get the guy who did the REM records to remix this. And I can say this stuff. This is a moot point. Right, Domenica?
Right.
The look of terror. On Claire's face and Chris's face, because I'm going against the industry. This is the stuff. This is the reason why no one wants what I do, Claire.
I'm an outsider. Pro industry,
right? You're pro industry. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're like pro Clive Davis. Pro or con Clive Davis?
As a person?
Because first of all, Clive Davis. Chris saved Clive Davis from a swimming pool incident.
Then I'm gonna say pro.
It was
Clive
his 12-year-old like grand nephew or something. Yeah.
Yes. He was at Hurricane
Harbor.
Okay, great.
In Jackson, New Jersey, exit 7A.
And he slipped out of his water wingies.
No, he was trying to end it all in the wave pool. You want to know, a wave pool was great. It was Action Park. Did you ever go to Action Park as a kid? Did it predate you?
Surprisingly, didn't really go to the shore much. I don't know why.
No, but Action Park was up.
Oh, then.
Yeah. Action Park was this. If you look, you grew up near Great Adventure. You don't need to go anywhere else. You're just like, yeah, I live near Great Adventure.
I can see the roller coasters through the trees, essentially.
Yeah, you look out your bedroom window and see a roller coaster. You wouldn't need to go anywhere else. I, on the other hand, I had Bowcraft as my place. Mike?
Bowcraft?
Still there. Route 22.
It's
a busted amusement park where.
Do they have a Ferris wheel?
They have smaller rides where you're not sure it's like, this might be for little kids, or it just might be a really crummy adult ride. It violates the rule of thumb that I use with rides, where if you can see where the ride is plugged in, you don't get on it. Like, if you can see the actual outlet plugged in, you're just like, no, they can get out of here real quick. If that's... So, Action Park was in northern New Jersey, and it was this thing where it was just everyone got hurt at this place. it was like they had a ski lodge kind of thing in the winter where you, the like ski slopes, but then they had the thing like those cars that you ride down where you have like the stick that makes you go faster. And those are so uncontrollable. Yeah. You got people crashing into the people behind them. They had a wave pool. They didn't have a guy like you at the wave pool. People drown in that wave pool all the time. They could have used a CT at that wave pool. They, think about the bands that didn't get signed or go anywhere because someone drowned. Everything in that place was just gear. People called it Traction Park. Like Action Park, they called Traction Park because people always got hurt at it. The wave pool, I remember going in the wave pool as a kid and thinking like, I think I might drown in this thing. Like this is truly scary. And the wave pool was going like, up and down. And then they also had this like water slide thing that
shot people out into,
so it's like someone could land on me. I'm having a hard enough time with these waves in this thing. And now some kid just flew and hit me in the head and gave me a concussion in the wave pool. It's like, wow, I'm finally getting the feel for how these waves are going. And some kid comes flying out of the tube and hits me in the head. Domenica?
Yes.
To what do I owe the pleasure of this call tonight?
I think it was more specifically about the weirdness of the Grateful Dead, and like specifically a week ago in Seattle in the Ballard neighborhood, I saw a Grateful Dead van, and it's like one of those things you feel like you've seen, but I don't think I've actually seen one before.
You mean like a VW kind of camper kind of thing?
Yeah, I mean, actually, it wasn't a VW. It was more like a normal white, like those creepy white truck. Not truck, but like a white van. It was like totally white, except for it had Jerry Garcia's head, just disembodied, kind of floating. Mm-hmm. And then like the little bear things. And
the dancing bears.
So, yeah, whatever those gummy things
They're
are.
They're not gummy bears. They're not dancing gummy bears. They were just bears. Those fun dancing bears.
Oh, okay. They're just bears, all right.
I'll say this about the Grateful Dead. Much better. The worst part about the Grateful Dead is the music.
The iconography is quite strong.
Yeah, it's amazing. The Steal Skull. Your Face is one of the greatest logos in ever. Mm-hmm. Dancing bears, maybe not my favorite.
I can say, growing up in Central New Jersey, they go great on a belt.
Okay.
I've seen a few dancing bears belts in my day.
Wow.
I was never a proud owner, but I was friends with some
kids smashing the ice cream cone on his head. You know that one?
The Europe 72.
It's a great one, yeah. The foot going across Europe, the giant shoe, the leg with the pot of gold, right, Mike? Great. The turtle, Terrapin Station? That's not so good. You know that's not so good. Blues for Allah? That's a good cover, right? The only problem with it is the bad music they made. American Beauty's a nice album cover. The Rose? They had that locked down, the artwork. They should have just started it for other bands.
Started a design firm.
Yeah.
You know, good music, bad art, yes. I think Yes Art is really bad.
So you don't like Roger Dean?
Is that who does it?
He's the guy.
Like Waterfalls and Butterflies?
Yeah. You mean you don't like staring and imagining, what planet is this?
No. The purple sky.
Maybe I'm on this planet.
I don't like it.
Look, Fragile is a bad album cover. That little globe, like the little planet.
It's gross.
Like a miniature one. It seems like dirty. Yeah. It seems like you're going to get some of it on you. Close to the Edge. Not a great album cover. Going for the One's a bad album cover. That's the naked guy from behind looking up at the skyscraper. Tormato's terrible. Mm-hmm. It's like a British gentleman, and then they did tomato. Like a tomato smash on it. So, Domenica, you were asking about the Grateful Dead. What are we going to do? What's up? Anything? No?
What should I do about them?
Yeah, look, you saw that thing. Chris wanted to know, was it an Econoline van?
I'm not sure what that is. It just looked like a standard issue white van that makes deliveries. It definitely wasn't a VW.
Okay.
But Yeah.
Like a windowless panel van?
Yeah, I didn't see, it was definitely a little creepy.
Yeah. What's your favorite Grateful Dead song, Domenica?
I really don't have any. They're one of those, I know I've heard them, because I've kind of been around, I guess just been around it for so long, living in this area for so long, and living in Olympia, and jam bands were like...
Who's the best band from Olympia? You know it. You can say it. Who's the best
band from Olympia?
From Olympia. You can say it. Come on.
The best band from Olympia.
It's Beat Happening.
The Need?
It's Beat Happening. Everybody knows that.
Oh, yeah.
Come on. Tighten it up.
Tighten it up?
Yeah. Tighten up our music knowledge.
Get some loose screws.
Yeah. You're going to come, you better come correct. Right? Thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
That's right. No, you did it. It was a great call. I appreciate it. And you have a great night.
Are you?
Bye.
I think she was saying something in time. I think she said something very different from goodbye. I think it was, are you? And, so Claire.
Uh-huh.
O'Kane.
Yeah.
At Baby's First Gun.
Yep.
Now, what are you, Chris? Your CT, what is your handle online?
The Real CT1.
The nice. Real CT1.
Number one or spelled out one?
The numeral.
Oof. I'm surprised that wasn't taken.
Me too. I don't even know if the Real CT was taken. I just thought the one was the better. Was
yeah. More.
Now, you can tell us, what's the name of this next Vampire Weekend album? I think you can give us that at least. I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
I can say the one that Ezra has made public. Hmm. As one of the as a draft name, Mitsubishi Macchiato.
I did read that one. What about?
I like it.
What if the cover was? And I'm just going to pitch this to you. Just picture this. Just not doesn't say anything there. Just like nothing. Like this is the cover.
We kind of already did that with Contra.
The AP
put Vampire Weekend on top of it.
Yeah.
Like the.
But he's not going to come
in. Wait,
where
can I pick up one of those as a headshot of...
of AP Mike?
Yeah.
You go to apmike.bandcamp.com. Okay. Why?
You know, it'd be really cool.
Why would you not know that?
Black out his eyes with, like, a sensor bar?
Yeah.
That'd be very cool.
That's, well,
like
I think...
Like a God Save the Queen.
Yes. Mike? I bought a headshot from this guy. I'm the only one that didn't get one yet. I bought one from... First of all, I provide the headshots. So I bring a box in of them. Here are the headshots. I never got one for myself. So I order one from the site. He has not fulfilled that. The only order that has not been fulfilled is the order from the person who brings you the headshots. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Why don't you? Come on and sign it.
Yeah, it's not worth anything if it's not... personalized.
Sign it to who wants it, Chris or Claire? Who wants it?
Sign
it to make it to Chris.
Make it to Chris. Nice. I'll buy one.
Yeah, Claire
actually,
will buy one.
I know where your town is. I worked at Great Adventure.
What did you do at Great Adventure?
Did you get Carney? What is that?
Well, I don't like that. Are you sure that was
and
the motion you're doing?
I thought that was janitoring, outdoor janitor.
Yeah.
Hand and broom.
I thought you were doing it's like a Grateful Dead character was just kind of like
the skeleton with the top hat
right?
And cane.
Yeah, right. That's what you were. I thought you were doing
that. Looked like a metal detector to me.
Yeah,
just picking up the loose watches.
Wearing a yellow shirt and green pants. It was a good look.
All right, out. What? How many slices did you eat?
What's that?
How many slices did you eat?
I had two.
Two. Okay.
Really full.
Oh, you're full. Oh, good. Well, as long as you're fed, I know why. Purpose has been fulfilled. Best show.
Hey, Tom. It's Jessica from Ithaca.
Jessica from Ithaca. How are you, Jessica?
I'm doing great.
You're here with Claire and Chris.
What's up?
Hello.
Hello.
So what's going on in Ithaca tonight?
Not much. I mean, we have Kat from Raleigh over right now. Just... pretty much chilling out.
Wait, she's
but
there? She's in Ithaca now?
Yeah, they're right here in my living room.
That's cool.
Yeah.
And how did you get to know each other? Through the show?
No. We've known each other for a few years.
Turns me out.
Through a mutual friend.
I thought it was going to have some big score.
Through
making
Elena and Ithaca, Alexis and Ithaca.
But the show has strengthened your friendship, right?
Oh, of course. It's really brought a lot of joy to our lives.
Thank you. That's all I needed, something. Just look. I don't have a whole lot going on now, Jessica.
I mean, I know you have this, and it's very important to me, and I want you to know that.
With the show?
Yes.
Oh, look, the show's important. Yeah, of course it is. I'm here every week. We got some surprises coming up down the pipeline. Some fun Ooh. Shows, some secret stuff. We got...
Like what?
Well, that's a good... Let me tell you about the secret. Wait, then it wouldn't be a secret, would it?
Oh, man.
No, but it's going all right for me now. I kind of got writings going back again. Got this Steven Universe album. Top three
great.
On iTunes right now. I'm singing like
that's
17
great.
Songs on that thing. 12 songs or something like that. I can't wait till the money shows up on that. I already spent it. Was that a smart move, spending the money already, Chris? You're in the music business.
Practically like 6 months.
Should I have spent the money?
Yeah, spend whatever you get. Of
okay.
course, always.
But I spend it, like I'm waiting for it to show up. I don't know what it's going to be yet, but I bought a small plane.
I was going to say above ground pool.
No, I'm going to buy one.
No, but this is number three on
it's
going to
be
it's
in.
Not like 10, like
oh,
three.
In the plane.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's going to be hanging off the bottom of the plane.
I think it's number five and above on iTunes is playing money. So
okay.
You should be good.
Yeah, it should be good. On a, but we're going to tie the ropes, the punch holes in the side of the above ground pool, mm-hmm. like high up on it so where the water wouldn't, not at the bottom, it'll drain out all over people's houses.
Take a sky tour of Manhattan
yeah.
while you're in the above
Sit
ground
in the
pool.
Thing, 'cause look, you know, you heard me talk about being on a Ferris wheel. I don't think I'll have any problem sitting in an above-ground pool tied to the bottom of a...
Your new small plane.
A small airplane, yeah. No. So, Jessica, what brings you
Hello?
To the show tonight?
Well, I actually have a story from something that happened this weekend. Mm-hmm. So, my band, Nancy Babbage, was able to play at this town festival that was going on.
Mm-hmm.
And the set went really well, even though it was, like, raining during it and it was outdoors. And that was really exciting.
Good. So
but
it went well.
It went well. It went very well.
Okay. I'm guessing, I'm going to guess there's more to it than this, though.
Yes. The bit was, I went and got some lunch later and decided to get some barbecue jerk chicken.
Okay.
I went back to the stage, and this hip-hop group was playing, and they were cool, so I sit down with my lunch mm-hmm. to watch them from the back, mm-hmm. and then I suddenly just hear the singer say this next song, raise your hand if you know about chicken farming, or not even chicken farming, like industrial chicken breeding,
uh-huh.
and the evils of it.
So...
I'm sitting here with my chicken leg all listening to the chicken version of Meat is Murder.
Chomping on the bones.
Yeah. You're just like, boy, this jerk chicken is so good. Boy, I earned this.
I'm the jerk now.
I earned this jerk chicken, and suddenly it's like, who here knows the horror of factory farming chickens? And then you're just like, oh, boy.
They've got dancers in the audience with their arms out representing free chickens.
And were they like, boo, when they saw you with the chicken? No?
I see it out of sight, but...
Well...
I felt it.
You know what? Maybe the guy had a point.
Maybe.
Right? Maybe you shouldn't be...
It was delicious.
I'm sure it was. You know what tasted good about that, though? The spices. You put spice on anything, and it's pretty good, right?
It's not the same.
There's jerk spices.
Oh, no, of course it's not the same, but these are compromises you make in life where you're just like, eh, right, maybe this thing wasn't alive.
Yeah.
It doesn't taste as good as something that was alive, but it's still, that's the trade-off, right? You get it, Jeff. Wait, why am I saying it to you? You're the one eating the jerk chicken on stage.
Yeah.
All right, Jessica.
Yeah, that's me.
Well,
I also left a cup of water on stage, and it was there for like five sets.
Nice.
That, yeah. That, I don't know. I don't have anything to say about that.
About that's just water. What it is.
That's a complete story. That's a complete story.
Yeah, that's like, it's almost like a haiku in a way. I left the water on the stage. That's it was impressive. There for 5 cents.
Well, yeah, last piece of news is, yeah, our band has a new EP, and so we can send you one if you want.
Yes, please, and people can check the band out where now?
NancyBabbage.bandcamp.com.
NancyBabbage.bandcamp.com. Yes. How do you like that, Mike? You're not, yeah, Mike, and Mike said, while you're over at Bandcamp, you might want to swing by. He's got some crap for sale. So, well, Jessica, say hi to Kat and everybody else, and I'll talk to you real soon.
Okay.
Bye. A Vampire Weekend rider versus a Dams of the West rider. What are the differences? let's get some.
That a Vampire Weekend rider, you get it all.
Yeah. Dams of the West,
you don't get mm-hmm. anything.
Okay.
Everything that I put on the Vampire Weekend rider is on the Dams of the West, or like a small version of it.
And that would be
but
what,
we don't get
what do you
want? I like some? A dried mangoes.
Oof.
Dried mangoes. Okay.
I love a good trail mix. And this is the rock and roll bit is no chocolates.
Don't
have the chocolates in the trail. No not candies. That you need to buy it and remove it. Just choose a non-chocolate version.
There's 800 trail mixes now. Yeah. Target has a wall of trail mix. Now, it's not like it used to be. What's a Claro Kane comedy show rider like? What would be on?
Just enough toilet paper in the bathroom. Just in, hopefully there's any toilet paper.
Mm-hmm.
One beer.
One beer.
If not, like just a half of something.
Sure, just anything wet.
Anything to cleanse the palate.
Mm-hmm.
And a banana. I like a banana.
What's the order of importance on that list?
Banana, liquid,
toilet paper.
Okay,
good. Well, at least you've got your priorities squared away.
Yeah.
Mike, who's good here? Four? Are those animals eating the wings out there? What's that like? Are you trying to
speaking of the chicken?
Are you able to hold? Yeah. Are you able to hold it down? The that pizza. Martine's in the lead. You got 15 wings. Well, the first one to eight wins.
Wait, save some wings.
There's a finite amount of wings.
I need a wing.
Do you want wings?
I love
then
wings.
Then go get wings. Go get a wing.
I'm not right now.
Save Claire a wing, would you? So it's four. This wing contest could end with a tie. Could be a 7-7 tie. Because they're fighting over the nickname Wingman.
Who it?
Pat and Martine.
Oh.
But the thing that you guys don't realize, the winner will be called Wingman. Whoever comes in second, I'm just going to call Wingman Wingman. Like you're the wingman to the wingman.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Right?
Yeah.
King Wing. No, it's going to be Wingman or Wingman Wingman.
I know I don't have authority, but you know.
Hello? You've some authority over the best show, Claire. So. Hello, hi, welcome to the best show. To whom am I speaking?
Hi, this is Oscar from Elgin, Illinois.
Oscar from Elgin, Illinois. What's going on in Elgin, Illinois tonight?
Nothing really. I just listened to the best show and pretty nervous. I know I have called several times before, but
I'm
always nervous when I talk to you.
Oscar, you relax. You're here with me and Chris Thompson and Claro Kane, and it's everybody's friends.
Well, I just want to say three things. The first one, I think the best NBA player that is closely resembles AP Mike maybe would be Stacey King. What do you think about that?
Stacey King?
Yeah.
He's like I could see that. He's kind of a stiff, right? Like a flop. They overpaid for him. Like that, right? Like that? He's just like a... Because Stacey King was like a loser who won a ring just by being associated with a thing undeserved. I don't like where this is going.
Well, you are the Michael Jordan of podcasting.
That's sweet of you to say. I didn't want to have to say it. I'm glad you said it. I couldn't say it. It's this kind of thing you can't say for yourself.
That's true.
Right? Like, do you have a nickname, Claire?
Yeah, I'm the Shaq of podcast guests.
The Shaq of podcast guests. No, but are you, like, but you can't give yourself a nickname.
People call me Claire Bear, but not, because that's lazy.
I'm not going to call you Claire Bear. I'm sorry. It's strangely familiar.
That's okay.
Right? Hey, Claire Bear, no, do you want some wings?
Strangers will ask, will call me Claire Bear.
Strangers. Well, we know you're CT already. Chris CT. Is CT.
Again, also somewhat unimaginative.
CT1.
Yeah, CT1. The real CT1.
The real CT1.
Yeah. Except no substitutes.
I'm looking for a nickname, though. I'm in the market.
Okay. Okay. We'll figure one out.
I don't have any, what's the word? Things that stick out.
Discerning.
Discerning, that's the word.
Uh-huh.
Attribute.
Super Claire. How about that?
Okay. Very personal, yeah.
Right? Super Claire, right? Super Claire.
In the thumbs up.
In the thumbs up. It's me, Super Claire. We did karaoke a few weeks ago, right? That was fun.
That was fun.
What songs do you do, Tom?
Oh, boy. What songs did I do?
Did he do All the Small Things? Yes.
Yes, I did.
Oh, did he do MGMT?
Pop Punk is great. Pop Punk is great. Yeah. My go-to is Fat Lip.
Fat Lip?
By Sum 41.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's a good one. I don't want to waste my time. Right?
Yes, that's right.
Who's your favorite member of Sum 41?
Derek Wibley. Wibley.
Yeah, mine too.
That's no, wait, fine. What about the bass name? Cone? Like, it was like Cone or something.
Well, there's one guy called himself Brown Sound, right?
I think he's not the drummer.
It's a bass player, bass I think. Player. So, yeah, I did All the Small Things.
MGMT was my favorite.
Did Time to Pretend.
Okay.
I would have done Flash Delirium, but the room was not it was not a pro MGMT room.
It was fine.
Because I sold it. Yeah. I made it fine. Mm-hmm. We're going to do Flash Delirium. It's a tricky one. That tough room. I also did Macy Gray.
Oh, yeah, that was really good. I usually go for that one.
I try. Mm-hmm. But do you do the Macy Gray impression when you do it?
I try. You did a good one.
I did a good one. I'm not doing it here. I'm saving that.
Oh, man.
Right? I know, Oscar. Oscar, right?
Yes. Like the Grouch.
All right. What's your favorite karaoke song, Oscar? What do you do when it's time?
Well, I haven't done it yet, but I really want to do Pussy Control by Prince or Sexy MF.
Okay, great.
Oh, well, these are real.
Get off my phone. I'm not going to get weirdo. Right? The Peep Show? These guys doing karaoke? They don't have those songs.
No, of course.
Yeah.
Oh, they have Sexy MF, I think.
Well, what's the other one he wanted to do?
Pussy Control.
They don't have that in the book. Like, you're flipping through the book looking for it.
Do you call the manager? Excuse me. Yeah. Do you have
Can we order... Can you order songs here? I'd like to order one, maybe. Chris, do you have a karaoke song you like to do?
Well, Fat Lip is usually my number one. And
that's the starter.
That's the starter.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
I usually try to duck out of the room before I get called up again. Because you always want to leave wanting more.
Really?
Not duck out of the room.
After one song?
No. Yeah. Not me. I'm just like, wait. Wait. Please don't shut the lights off in this place. Like, that's my karaoke thing. It's just like, we can fit two more in to say the piece. Look, I'm just going to do Atlantis and then like just try to figure. You could squeeze Atlantis. It's 7 minutes long. Come on. Like when there's only like a couple minutes left, you pick a super long song. You're just like, they can't stop it part way through. I'm the customer.
I bet they can if they totally want it to. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
They have.
They can stand there until you leave.
And they can just turn the machine off.
Yeah, too.
So, Fat Lip, so when it's karaoke time with you.
It's all Fat Lip all the time.
Fat Lip, and then it's just like.
An Irish goodbye.
Say goodbye to Chris. He's going to be leaving very soon. Best show.
Hey, Tom.
Yes, hi. To whom am I speaking?
This is This is Scott in Brooklyn, formerly of Houston, America's Venice.
Scott in Brooklyn, formerly of Houston, a.k.a. America's Venice.
Correct.
I believe I called it that, right?
Yes, yes.
Yes.
So I left because you said that. It was so bad.
And you went to Brooklyn.
Yes. Right?
What made you go to Brooklyn? You figured...
I got a job here.
Oh. Mm, fancy. What kind of job?
I'm a graphic designer.
I was going to say that. I should have guessed.
You should have guessed.
Everybody's a graphic designer.
Yeah. So what
it's
are you
a,
working on?
It's an acquirable
on?
Skill.
Yeah.
All right.
Couldn't do that by remote from Houston?
I was ready to get out.
Okay. You're ready to get out.
Yeah.
You said, let me go to a city that seems like there's literally no more room in it and everything is 12 times as much money as it was a year ago. What neighborhood are you in?
I'm in Prospect Heights.
Mm, very fancy.
Nice.
Do you miss New Jersey, Chris? Do you miss?
There are parts of it I do, parts of it I don't. I actually, my wife is also from the 609 area code.
Okay.
We went to the same high school but didn't really know each other back then. And I have a lot of fond memories of Central New Jersey, and she does not.
Okay. So she's casting a cloud over your New Jersey memories.
Maybe it was a difference between Princeton Junction and Imlay's Town. There's, you know, maybe there.
She was Princeton Junction.
She was, yeah.
And then where were the other guys in from, like, Glen Rock?
No. We got one. Ezra's a North Jersey guy. He's Glen Ridge.
Okay, yeah, Glen Ridge.
Rossum's the wild card, D.C., and bassist Chris Baio is Westchester.
Okay. So you have that New Jersey thing. Were you always looking at New York City and just wondering if what that would be like to live at? Did it have all this allure to you?
Yes, although Imlay's Town is almost exactly in between. It's like the cutoff between Phillies and Mets, Yankees fans, or Eagles, Giants, Jets, whatever. Had half parents commuted to... So I actually ended up going to Philly more because it was a little bit more automobile-friendly.
Yes.
When you're 16 and driving to shows and stuff. But even for that reason, New York held more allure because I saw it sort of rarely. But every band went there, which was sort of, at that point, was the be-all, end-all of where one would... why one would choose to live anywhere.
Yes. And you went from there to school somewhere, I'm assuming?
To university.
To university. Oh.
Morningside Heights, yes.
Where did you go to school, Claire?
Nowheresville. I went to art school for 1 year.
Okay.
In Oakland.
Your experience is close to mine.
Yeah.
I went to Middlesex Community College, that's right. For way too long for a 2-year school. And if you go to the wiki, I'm going to go here.
Which wiki?
The Middlesex.
Okay. Are you a notable?
I think it's me.
Who else? Who's your company?
I think it's me and Jim Norton, comedian
no
Jim
way.
Norton. Middlesex County College. Notable alumni. James Cahill, mayor of New Brunswick.
Pretty good.
Jim Norton, comedian, actor, and radio personality. Danny Pinaturo, actor from the TV show Who's the Boss?
Huh.
Oh, here's a fun one. Ahmad Khan Rahami, suspect in the 2016 New York and New Jersey bombings. And me.
Ooh, churning out a lot of bad boys.
Yes. Yeah. This school is... We're pretty bad here. Sure, we have Lily Yip, the table tennis Olympian, is from here, but we do have the suspect from the 2016 New York and New Jersey bombings, and it does make note, which is maybe the funniest thing I've ever seen. Did not graduate.
Oh, God.
If only he would have seen the 2-year program through, maybe he would have realized I could be on the radio. It was like 80% of the alumni from this school. Either that or the guy from Who's the Boss. Who was he on Who's the Boss?
He was the son.
Was he?
Yes, he was the son on Who's the Boss. That's fun. Right? Maybe we should have a big party at Middlesex County College. when I went to the radio station there, which was not a radio station, it was a PA system in the student center, basically. Mm-hmm. They would regularly just shut it off also, by the way. Like, you'd be listening, some kid would be playing records, and then someone else would just put Z100 on. Like, okay. Just, like, change it. And I went up to the, I was like, I want to do radio at some point and talk into microphones and let me go. I go up and I talk to someone, and there's a kid sitting there, slumped in a chair, listening to Brain Salad Surgery by Emerson, Lake, and Palmer, playing it as a DJ. And I was like, yeah, I want to find out about getting on the air at this non-radio station radio station. He's like, yeah, no more slots, man. And it's like,
seats taken.
No more slots. This isn't real. Like, this is not a real radio station. It's you're playing records for yourself. Like, you're sitting in a room listening to records. And there were no more slots. And then, boy, did I show that guy, right? I show him.
Yeah. You, Jim Norton.
Sure. Me and Jim. Yeah. Well, that's like your crowd. The tough crowd? Well, those are the comedians. The say anything. Shock jock kind of, mm-hmm. Right?
Is that your style of
yeah,
comedy?
Yeah, yeah. Just outrage
yeah.
Comedy, right?
Mm-hmm.
No jokes.
No. Just offensive phrases.
Hate speech, basically.
Yeah.
It's basically
legal hate speech.
Yeah, legal, professional.
Yeah.
Hate speech. Mm-hmm. No, you're not.
With
like
a 2-drink minimum.
With a 2-drink. No, I'm scared of stand up comics. That's to some degree.
Just
you know what I mean?
Because he made fun of your jacket that way?
No, that was Nick DiPaolo.
Oh, yeah.
That was not Jim Norton. Jim Norton seems perfectly fine. But just those rough guys, like, they're always, like, making fun of each other. Like, Chris, do you make fun of your friends? You guys just like, oh, you should have seen it. We just
ragged on this guy.
Yeah, we goofed on our friends so badly. And it's like,
not really.
Why? I thought he was your friend.
I've never had that particular impulse. Although, if there's any cause out there, then beg to disagree.
Look, I'm not mean. Am I mean?
No.
Sure, I humiliate Mike on a weekly basis. And Pat and Dudio and everyone who calls the show. And Chris and I met at Saturday Night Live. Do you remember this?
Not sure which.
You guys were playing Saturday Night Live. I was there backstage. And 3 days earlier, 4 days earlier, on a Tuesday, I had said on the air about Vampire Weekend, making a joke, of course. I was like, I don't know about those guys. I don't know about any band that dresses like Robert Chambers, the preppy killer. Like, I don't know. And then, like, you were just like, you're like, hey. And I was like, oh, you're like, hey, I'm a fan of the best show. I'm like, oh, that's nice of you to say. And then I'm just thinking, like, oh, boy, 4 days ago I made the only joke I ever made about these guys on the show, and now 4 days later I'm meeting them. So it's just like, hey, I just gotta tell you, I made a joke about you guys. Like, I was gonna own it. I'm not gonna be some sneaky dude. I gotta face the music on that.
I think the worst part about that joke is that a lot of other people have made it. It's not
offensive.
Well,
that's fair. Look, you see what it's like doing this thing. I'm not saying this is all this is not top shelf material here for 3 full hours. Sometimes we kind of, it's like waves. It's like the hurricane harbor.
The wave pool.
Just like being in that wave pool. Sometimes it's up, sometimes it's down.
Sometimes you drown.
Sometimes you get the hang of the pool and a kid flies out of the, kid flies out of the water slide and hits you on the back of the head and you drown because you're concussed. But yeah, so it's just like, What was I saying? Oh, I was saying I don't make fun of people. I think that's what I was trying to get back to. Except I think I just realized I do make fun of people. I'm no different. I guess it's the school I went to. It's my schooling. Uh-huh. I just blame it on my schooling. Jim Norton, bombing suspect, the kid from Who's the Boss. I'm sure he's made fun of people. This table tennis champ doesn't seem like a...
She was known for her aggressive
style.
Yeah,
she seems a little aggressive. Yeah, so I'm just a product of my environment. Oh, sorry. You're still on the line?
Yep.
Hi, best show. I think I hung up on her. I can't remember who I was talking to.
Hi there. Yeah.
Hi. How are you?
Hi. Good. This is Mike from Montreal.
Mike from Montreal. What's up, Mike?
First time caller, long time listener.
That's good to hear. Montreal's a great city.
Yeah. I'm calling because I saw Alan Licht play a show here on Sunday night, or Saturday night, rather, and it was really great.
He's great. A great guitarist. Alan Licht, New Jersey. Yeah. Guitar, yeah, he was in the band Love Child, and then he's been in all sorts of downtown kind of stuff. And I put a single out by him a long, long time ago, which was him doing amp noise.
Was that the emphasis track?
Both songs were emphasis tracks. It was a double A side. Yes. And the record was called, you can say it, caller.
Calvin Johnson has ruined rock music for a generation.
Yes, Calvin Johnson has ruined rock for an entire generation was the name of the single. So, so you had a good time. I'm glad he's a good guy.
Yeah, it was great. We talked a little at the show, and then I was kind of feeling inspired by, I said sort of the spirit of the best show, but then I said, hey, let's meet up for an hour if you have time tomorrow before your next show, and he said, okay. So we grabbed some coffee on Sunday morning and ended up interviewing him. And I'd never really interviewed anybody before, and it was a lot of fun.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was great. We talked about, Run On and Love Child and, Hoboken in the 90s, but new stuff too. And he had he had a lot of great stories. One of his kind of crazy stories was about he was interviewing some minimalist people for a magazine in the late 80s, early 90s, like Charlemagne Palestine, Tony Conrad, mm-hmm. Glenn Branca. Mm-hmm. And he was interviewing them with a guy from college who was also a sort of fan of that scene, mm-hmm. named Neil. And that guy was Neil Strauss, who went on to write The Game, the pickup artist book.
One of my favorite books. Yeah. Or as I call it, The Bible! That's how I live my life. The Game, right? The Rules. What was it again? The Rules? I do call it The Bible. He was the rock writer who wrote the Motley Crue book, and then he started writing books on like lifestyle stuff, and then started living the life he was writing about.
Yeah, like following the steps.
Wait, what's that?
Getting between Glenn Branca to Motley Crue to picking up chicks is like a chain that is just crazy to me.
Mike's saying I got to take this call. There's something on the hotline here. So thanks for calling.
Thanks for giving me the chance. Okay, All right, have a good night.
Okay. Go to the hotline. Okay. Nobody's there. Come on, Mike. Oh, you made me hang up on that guy, Mike. Tighten it up, Mike. So, Chris, what's going on for the rest of this year now? You finished some touring.
Finished some touring. Right now, only got two shows on the books. One is in June 19th, which is 2 weeks from yesterday, at Baby's All Right in Brooklyn, New York.
Nice.
And then the other one is also in the five boroughs, playing, literally the first set of the day on Saturday of the Meadows Festival, which will be exciting perform that close to, the closest I'll ever be to becoming a Met.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's, who else is on that, Bill?
We're on Gorillaz is on our day, Erykah Badu.
Nice.
Okay. Lots of people. Classic festival style. Lots of people.
When's that?
September, the teens of September.
What?
He's just like, what's that?
I want to see Erykah Badu and Chris.
All right. Look, we'll make it happen. I got the hookup.
All right.
I don't have any hookup.
Did you get the hookup for Lincoln Blinken yet?
Shh.
Oh.
He called earlier.
Did he really?
Yeah.
I missed it.
He said he's going to give me the hookup. He's going to give me a Lammy. You know the Lammy I want, Chris, right?
I do.
It's got the number on it. Yeah, I want one with a number on it.
That's Band Love.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Yeah, and I've gotten them before. I can hang with it. I'm a responsible.
What's your favorite Lammy you've ever gotten?
Oh, boy.
Favorite Lammy. No, this is a good question. Thanks for asking. I've been waiting my whole life for somebody to ask, what's the best Lammy I've ever been given? Probably one of those death cab Lammies.
Nice.
Yeah, those had numbers on them. I worked my way up to earning numbered Lammies for them. And I could just walk in any show. Yeah, it's a Lammy.
Although it has to be on the same tour, cycle. Yeah. If you wait for the next album, you can't use the same Lammy.
Yeah.
Same Lammy?
For the leg of the tour, yeah. Then they reset the Lammies.
Because you don't want to, there's a real sunk cost is printing up the Lammies.
Yeah, color. Yeah.
You don't want to redo it every tour.
And you can't let these things fall into the wrong hands.
That's
either.
Why it's numbered. That's why you were traceable. On the tour manager's list of number, let's say 22 is Sharpling.
Oh, I
And
my
if some knucklehead comes back 2 months 22, later.
22, yeah. And they come back
to me. They
know
it's yours, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I, look. This is my goal. Numbered Lammy at that show over the summer. Mm-hmm. Numbered Vampire Weekend Lammies. Mm-hmm. Get this. Single-digit numbered Dams of the West Lammy.
We are not at Lammy Lev yet.
Whoa.
Just make one Lammy for me.
Yeah. the one.
This weird, sad, hey, here's... Tom, here's the Lammy. It's number 5.
Yeah, just only make one, and it's number 5.
Yeah, number 5, buddy. Single digit, just like you mentioned.
Just make them feel special.
Because you know I would fall. I'd be like, this isn't real if it says number 1 on it. This is a fake Lammy.
Well, it's true, because there's 4 people in the band, myself included, so you'd be 5.
I'd be 5, exactly. Yeah, so. Claire O'Kane Lammy for the tour. No, I want a Lammy for your shows.
Oh, for me?
Yeah. I want to see the toilet paper and the banana and the cup of liquid.
I don't think it'll ever be Lammy.
The liquid cold or hot? Or room temp?
Really? I'm not a diva, you know. Just give me some.
Okay.
Just make sure it's wet.
Something to swish around.
Yeah. Next week, no best show. No best show next week. I will be at the Strand Bookstore interviewing author Dave Weigel about his new book, The Show That Never Ends, The History of Prog Rock. So if you're in New York, come by. It's going to be great. It's going to be in conversation, me and Dave, talking about his brand new book, which is a great book. I'm taking a week off. We've done so many shows. I haven't missed a show since December, I think, between Christmas and New Year's.
Christmas?
Was probably the last show we missed. Right, Mike? He doesn't know. So I'm taking a week off. It'll be good to recharge my batteries.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Is ELP in that book?
Why, yes, they are.
Is there a chapter?
It just tells it in chronological,
so
checks
it's not
in
like
with everybody.
This bandit could be your life situation.
It's not like that, no. It's just the story, and here come Perfect. Yes, and then here come Emerson, Lincoln, Palmer, and then here's King.
Where
Clinton.
Does it end?
It ends kind of, it goes into that second wave of Dream Theater and bands like that. It kind of gets them into the mix.
You're
like,
I don't know what that is.
Me neither. Don't worry. I want the original run with these things. Claire, you like Soft Machine?
I like Soft Machine, mm-hmm. And yes.
What's your favorite Soft Machine song? Let me guess. We did it again.
That one's good.
Right?
I like the one that goes, and now, but now, don't bone, and now, no, no. You know?
What's that one?
I don't know. I don't know the names of songs that are 9 minutes long.
Sure.
I forget.
Chris, did any of this ever enter your worldview?
Yeah, no, for sure. I think it's on 3, Out Bloody Rageous. Is that
yeah.
one?
Yeah,
that's a good one, too.
Yeah.
Full side of a record.
Yeah.
That's my favorite.
I think that's the one that's like... and talk a dope a dope a New York town.
And
New York State.
No, that's Moon
that?
In June.
Oh, I like that one.
That's the one... There's this thing when they did like this Peel session that Soft Machine came in and they did alternate lyrics for Moon and June, and it's just like, like I'm such a, I'm way too into it because I'm just like, well, this is funny. It's lyrics about performing on John Peel, isn't this funny? And it's like, oh boy, am I off target in big ways. I am so far, I am adrift where I'm just like, no, but they mentioned the other bands, and they mentioned this other studio at the BBC. God. Yeah, right? No, absolutely. Oh, you don't think I feel that? No. It's like the voice in my head. Oh, God. Like I hear that every day. It's hard. It's hard, Claire. What are you doing for the rest of this year? What do you have coming up? Do you have any shows of note?
I'm doing the last Macaulay Culkin show. At what's it called?
Shea Stadium. Mm-hmm.
This Sunday.
Okay.
And then I got a show tomorrow.
Okay. Where's that?
Bushwick Public House.
Okay.
Some Bushwick beer situation.
All right.
And I just got a job at a butcher shop today. So catch me at the butcher shop.
You're at the butcher shop.
Mm-hmm.
Can you say which?
I don't know. I'd be weird if I could. It's not like a.
I would say.
Do you have a non-compete clause with the last butcher shop you worked at?
It's in Park Slope.
When you just get a job, it's usually not the best to test the boundaries of a thing like that. Like,
yeah.
Hey, I talked about it on the radio last night.
Yeah.
The butcher shop.
Come get your lamb slices.
Yeah.
Is that the technical term?
Yeah.
Are you working the slicer?
Heavy on the slices. No, I'm cutting chicken cutlets.
Okay.
And then otherwise, my official title is butcher shop production assistant. So it's like I never left the biz.
Look.
I'm just cleaning.
You're in it.
Dishes.
You come from humble backgrounds.
Humble current life.
No, but Chris is the guy. He's working at Great Adventure.
Yeah.
Right? For all the fanciness of this band where they're singing about all these things, but fancy lifestyles, right? They're not real fancy people.
Sure.
You were right.
Yeah,
people read books. That's all it is.
There was an interest in fancy things more so than we had them.
Yeah, It's clear because fancy people don't
sing
about being fancy. Yeah. It's like that's kind of it's the last thing they want you to know about them is that they're fancy.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right.
Yeah.
That's why slobs like me, we find a $20 bill on the street, we start telling everybody about it until everybody's heard about the thing I found. That they, it's like, yeah, we heard you found a $20 bill. Yeah.
I got a free steak today.
You got a free
fridge right now.
In that fridge.
Yeah, I had to bring it with me.
I'll tell you this, it's not in that fridge anymore. It's in Mike's car. That steak is in Mike's car. Mike? Hey, Mike. Good news. I think you have a steak connect now. Because you have a shrimp connect. Just don't even listen to him. Mike bragged about how he went down to see some friend in Florida. He drove to Florida and he bought shrimp up here.
All the way on the drive.
Yeah, he bought shrimp here.
He bought it on ice? How did he do it? I don't think
he had it on ice. What did you have it on? A cold soda. He put a cold can of Coke on the shrimp. And were you sick after eating the shrimp? The shrimp connect. This sounds sketchy to me.
You got a surf and turf.
You know what that sounds like, Mike? And don't take this the wrong way. It sounds like there was a false bottom in that cooler that you drove down with. Right? No, officer. It's just a cooler. It's got shrimp in it. And the guy like taps the side and realizes it's like weirdly solid then hollow sounding, the bottom of the cooler. I don't know how solid a styrofoam cooler sounds. Best show, hi.
I love you. You pay my rent.
It's true. The Pet Shop Boys. You like the Pet Shop Boys? Who likes the Pet Shop Boys? Yeah.
Everybody with a brain like the Pet Shop Boys.
And I saw them in Morristown, New Jersey a few months ago. And the guy, Neil Tennant, was just like, hello, Morristown, New Jersey. It's so great to be here. It's like, in Morristown. It's like, all right, you can stop with the more. Like, none of us.
As a kid growing up, I always dreamt.
Yeah.
Come headline Morristown, New Jersey.
Someday in England. I think he was a young lad in England.
writing songs. He's like, someday these songs are going to take us all the way to Morristown, New Jersey, where we're going to play the town center.
Is that theater?
It was the theater. Yeah. It's a good show.
Ohio.
What's that? This is BB from Las Vegas, one of my favorite callers. How are you, BB?
I'm good, sweetheart. How are you?
I'm well. Las Vegas, home of, you can say it. Who's the best band out of Las Vegas?
Oh, everybody, you know, I should have prepared for this.
The Killers.
All right, I'll take The Killers. I'll take St. Brandon Flowers.
Yeah. What's your favorite Killers album?
I honestly am not.
You just like the songs.
I just like the songs and the singles. I don't pursue their overture, shall we say.
At one point, they decided that they wanted to sound like Bruce Springsteen, which was kind of... It's funny when people go through, like, Bruce Springsteen phases. I don't even mean it in a bad way. When people are just suddenly like, yeah, I think I want to write songs like that all of a sudden because they get super fascinated by...
He's a fascinating guy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you buy nothing but Beaver Brown polish for your shoes.
Wait, is that what Beaver Brown is? It's a shoe polish?
I'm just making it up.
Oh, see, you got
But you
me.
Bought it, man. It was Nesmithian.
I would have believed that.
Yeah, I should have just...
John Cafferty and the Beaver Brown Band. Who have you seen in concert more than anybody, Chris?
Me? Ooh,
yeah.
Oh, this is the dark secret that I have. Fish.
Fish?
Yeah.
And is that an ongoing thing with you?
Last one was a couple of years ago. I'll go if the lamé hits my hands. But I haven't traveled too far in a while.
Still has a hold on you with it.
I like going with the friends who have experienced this over like a decade and a half now.
Sure. It's a thing. It's and look, again, I wish I was into okay. one of these bands that just did. They're like, hey, they covered the White Album. It's like, I'd like to see a band I like do that. And it's just like, this band, I don't get it, did it. And I did that podcast with, you know, Harris Whittles, you know, the guy he passed away.
Harris Whittles, I was just thinking of him.
Yeah, and he did this Fish podcast that I did with him where he would try to convince, he loved Fish so much, and he just tried to convince me to like Fish so much, and it was like, he loved them so much, and then he said, he would like play these songs, he'd be like, listen, it's like 12 minutes into this song, it sounds like The Who. I'm like, well, what about the first 11 minutes? Like, I'd rather listen to something that sounds like something I like from the first part of it, not have to wait 11 minutes to get to the part that reminds me of another band.
I totally understand that criticism. Mm-hmm. And I think it grabbed me young, and it still sort of holds that place. But I completely understand most criticisms that I've heard of Fish.
It's that thing where when you like a thing, it makes sense to you, and nobody can kind of dissuade you from that, and they shouldn't want to. Baby, who have you seen more than anybody? What was the band you saw more than any other band?
10,000 Maniacs.
10,000 Maniacs.
I've got like 15 10,000 Maniacs ticket stubs in my old checkbook.
All right.
And those are the ones I kept. But, full disclosure, they were comps.
Okay. That's fine. You ever get a lamé? 10,000 Maniacs lamé?
I did, and
numbered?
I...
Was it numbered?
No, it wasn't. It was
Yeah.
One of those peel-off, stick-on, off cheesy ones that...
Those aren't lammies. Oh, BB, those aren't lammies. Those are passes for the night. Those are just the stickers.
Oh.
Lammies on a string around your neck and...
On a lanyard that says something really cool.
Exactly. Like it'll have the Too Cool for School tour.
Yeah.
Right? Do you name your tours like crazy things like that?
We, as of yet, have not. There hasn't been a reason to.
What's
for
the
whatever
next album? Mariachi Moccasin?
Close to two multisyllabic M's, Mitsubishi Macchiato.
Oh, yeah.
Again, that's nothing
definite on that.
It's a working
title. Yes. That's a working title.
Or an idea.
Yeah.
Macchiato?
We'll get to
Macchiato, yes.
We'll get the scoop when it comes out. CT will be in here.
Okay. Spilling the beans. Sounds like a Chinese coffee drink.
So, BB, what do I owe the pleasure of this call?
Oh, I was just checking in, fella. I just got I got discharged from the hospital somewhat unceremoniously last night at 10:30.
Oh, no. Are you okay?
Oh, I had surgery.
How are you doing?
Still pretty drugged up, be quite frank with you.
Cool.
Okay.
But I'm doing a lot better than I was doing in the hole.
Yeah.
It's just good to be home, back with the kitties and the and D.
Good.
And since I've come home, our female cat is very vocal. If I complain about anything since I've been back, she keeps going around here and going, "Oh well, oh well." Complain. Oh well.
Oh, yeah, you've got great cats. You have two cats, right?
I do. You didn't see Willie, but she looks like a gray version of Sam. Just they're both Norwegian tabbies, so they got a lot of hair, and they're really not as big as you think they are. I've seen them shaved. They ain't all that.
Well, I liked you. The cat that I met, I liked a lot.
Oh, Sam liked you because you're a big guy.
Yeah.
He's got a thing for the big man. Yeah, yeah.
All right, BB, I'm going to wrap up because I want to go home. I have to get up super early tomorrow.
Yeah, I still love you, man.
Well, I love you. I hope you feel... Stay strong, okay?
I will, man. Claire,
take
Chris,
care of
yourself. Good night.
Good night, BB.
Good night to
you. It's been a good show.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Bombs away, my lad.
Ah, bye. She's so nice. Best show. Final calls here. Home stretch.
I'm the final call.
Not yet. In the home. We're getting there. Who is this?
My name is Ben. I'm from Seattle.
Ben from Seattle. What's up, Ben?
I wanted to say a couple things about Claire O'Kane.
Oh, no.
Is she still there?
Yep.
How nervous you are.
What you got?
The room changed just now.
Yes. What do you want to say about Claire O'Kane? And I'm going to tell you this, Ben.
Please.
You listen to me. She's not only a guest here. She's my friend. And you listen to me. You say anything untoward or inappropriate, I guarantee you this. I'm going right to the airport. Go right to Newark Airport. And I'm going to fly to Seattle. It's a 6-hour flight. I'll probably have to take like a 6:30 flight. I'll get in and I'm going to, for lunch, here's what you know, for lunch, that airport's a nightmare to get out of. So it's probably going to take me a little while. It's not going to be cheap taking that $80 one-way cab ride from the airport. Glad your city has figured that out.
There's a good light rail.
Yeah, there's light rail.
There's a good light rail from SeaTac.
I guess sit and wait all to carry my bags on the thing.
This is like an overnight thing.
I gotta smash this guy's face in.
Okay.
Times are wasted. I want this guy to hide. I'm gonna chase him all around Washington. I gotta get him. So for lunch, I'm gonna womp and cave your face in.
What do you gotta say, Ben?
Yeah, so go ahead. What are the couple things you wanted to say to my friend, Claire O'Kane, at the risk of your head being caved in by my fists, which are fists that have been... I've got a lot of rage from other things that have nothing to do with you, Ben, but it's all coming out on you. So, go ahead. The floor is yours, my friend.
Sorry. Okay. Well, I wanted to say this. I watched a movie on Netflix, or a pilot on Netflix that had her on it, and she was really, really funny. She was great.
It's Amazon.
First of all, it was Amazon.
Yeah, get your provider correct.
Second of all, thanks. Thank you.
That's nice.
That's very nice of you to see.
Yeah.
My three lines that I had.
And the name of that one was the...
Budding Prospects.
Budding Prospects. Mm-hmm. And Brett Gelman is in it.
He's good in it.
Yeah. And is that not going forward to series? Do you know? Or is that?
I don't think.
Okay.
I can say.
All right. Well, we'll find out. Stay tuned over at Amazon right? Keep checking Amazon.com.
Keep refreshing the homepage.
Yeah, just keep. And I gotta say this. Look, this Dudio's not here this week, so this is a good time for me to say it. He was like...
Deadbeat.
What's that? What did you just say?
The nice man.
No.
Oh, I'm coming out. You are so close. You better... I can tell you this, Ben. You know what you got right now? The next time I'm in Seattle, I'm going to cave your face in. I'm not going to make a trip specifically to do it, but now you're guaranteed this. The next time I'm in Seattle, I'm caving your face in. You want to upgrade it to where now I'm going to look to be in Seattle and maybe schedule something else?
Anything else, Ben?
Yeah. So this Dudio, he's like, what if we do one of those shows to get that voice thing, that dumb thing in the middle of the table that like goes like, was it Alexa? Or what? Is that mm-hmm. the Amazon one? It's like, mm-hmm. you couldn't pay me to get one. It's like you got to tell some thing or everything I'm interested in, right? I tell some machine, like, you think that's a one-way street? And look, am I that interesting to where somebody's going to come after me? No, I'm not. I know that. But why would I contribute to the general decaying of things like privacy and, like, why would I contribute to that and pay for it? In a movie, that'd be like a bad science fiction movie where there's one of those things in everyone's house. But we're in a world where it's worse than that. We pay to have them put in our house. So go ahead. So Dudio's like, why don't we get one of them and just do it on the air the whole show? Wait, did you suggest this, Mike? Yeah, Mike did. Not Dudio. Yeah, oh, you didn't suggest the whole show. All right, just keep eating the pizza, all right? Well, how we doing here, Pat? Okay. Yes. Fun announcement I'll read in a minute. Yeah, so you saw Claire do in the show, and she was funny, and that's it, right?
Yeah, she's the best. So I also want to say about karaoke, I have a song that's great all the time. Mm-hmm. Immigrant Song is like a winner all the time.
Yeah, I don't know. That's
hard to pull off.
Yeah, that's out of it.
Which
that's
one?
Immigrant Song.
Oh. What?
That's not in your range. You can't hit those notes, Ben.
Oh, okay.
You think you can hit those notes? Let me hear you do the opening thing.
Oh!
No, that's terrible. That's the worst. It was so far off target.
I think I could do it.
Let's hear it.
Ah!
Okay, that was good. No.
It's a little off, too.
No, but it was, at least you were in the neighborhood of it. Best show, final call.
Final call. Thank you so much. I've been waiting for a while. How you doing tonight? Oh,
you almost got hung up on it. That's all it took. You don't realize, I've been waiting a while. That's all it takes to get hung up on.
Hey, some respect. There's some respect to be offered to somebody who's waited for such a long time to hear you and
well,
to talk to you.
Well, my friend, first of all, what's your name?
My name's Marcus. How are you?
I'm well, Marcus. What do you want? Well, you've strangely charmed me now, and I want to just.
Well, I hope I can charm you a little bit further. We were talking. I've got two really good friends here with me in Maryland, in Rockville, just outside of Washington, and we were talking about noise tonight, and we heard a train whistle earlier, and both of us were reminiscing about how much we love the sound of a train whistle, and we were wondering why that was so strangely peaceful for us.
You really can't figure that out?
I can't. I was hoping you could help me.
Yeah, probably when you were a kid you heard it.
Well, is that the explanation?
Hey, look, you're a simple person.
I'm
trying
not.
To figure simple simple motivators for you. You're a simpleton. That's all it would take. Brings back things when you're a kid.
It's possible. It's true.
Yeah.
But
same, okay. Why? What do you think it could be?
Are there those out there you think that would have the same sensation?
Well, when you hear a train whistle, Claire, does that bring back any?
Yeah.
Right.
My home mm-hmm. had a train.
Okay.
Train track down the street.
Where's your home, Claire?
San Jose, California.
Right? I know. You get even worse than Chris. Train whistles. That mean anything to you?
Not. I mean, I feel like you have Thomas the Train Engine, that sort of stuff from childhood. But New Jersey Transit has more of a farty, like not really a choo choo.
Like,
yeah, it's not really
that. I could understand because what I'm talking about really are freight trains from afar that you can't hear constantly, that you can't hear consistently, but in the distance, every once in a while,
you catch one.
Because
you said constantly and consistently, it's like you're reading it.
No, I'm not. I don't do those things.
You don't read? Why not?
He wrote it down while he was waiting.
I do read. Uh-huh. I do read.
Oh, you're a big reader, huh?
Occasionally.
What do you like to read? What do you like to read? David Foster Wallace?
No, I don't. I like to read poetry. I like poetry.
Like, well, what's a poem you like? What's a poem?
A poem that I like is a poem by, do you know John Berryman?
Of course, the master.
Ah, yes. Oh, the master. Then you know Huffy Henry hid the day, unappeasable Henry sulked.
Of course I do.
Okay.
Why?
All right.
I went to Middlesex County College. Where do you think I went to school?
Well, you don't have to.
Jim Norton.
You don't have to flaunt your great education.
Oh,
your people. Your people. You know, your people who speak to the street. You don't have to flaunt that.
Hey, dunce. I didn't have a good education. Everything I learned is out here on the street.
On what street?
What street? The street.
What street?
What street? The street. Well, what street are you from?
Oh, I'm from many streets.
Oh, many you're from streets. Many, and I'm not from any street.
Well,
right?
I just wonder which street you're from. Yeah. That's a question that I think is worth exploring.
Main Street, okay?
Main Street, okay. So you're from Main Street, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Right?
I'm not from Main Street.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm not from your street.
Yeah. Of course, I know you're not. We wouldn't take kindly to your kind. We'd give you the Rambo treatment. When Rambo
you
walked,
would.
When
you
First
would.
Blood, be First
you
Blood
would.
Style, we see you walking
Nintendo,
through town, we turn
Nintendo
the fire hose
style.
On you.
That game, right? Did you ever play that game?
No, Rambo, I don't play games. On, I'm in the real world here. I don't have time for games.
God. Oh, you're in the
games?
Real world again.
What are you, games? Are you games?
I played Nintendo. As
right?
a kid,
no,
I
didn't have time.
Yeah.
I had a job.
I had jobs too, you know.
Uh-huh.
I was a kid though at once.
Yeah, not me.
You were never a kid.
Much of a childhood.
Wow, that's really
how old
sad.
Were you when
I'm
you had your first? How old were you when you had your first job?
15.
15, 12, my friend.
12. What'd you do?
I was a busboy.
Busboy, where?
Where was a busboy? I was at the busboy at the shoe store. I was at a diner. What do you think I'd be
right,
a busboy?
Clearly. You were a busboy at some sort of food serving station.
Yeah.
I guess specifically what I want to know though is which one that might be.
I don't feel like telling you because you scare me. And
I like to scare people when I can.
Trust me, you're not nearly as scary as you think you are.
I'm terrible. I know. I'm not.
You know who should
me.
Be scared?
I know
who should be scared
who?
Of you? You,
me, myself?
Yourself. You should be scared of yourself.
I know, I should. I
it's
am,
like the movie
actually,
Split.
The
you're like the movie Split. When you watch that movie Split, is that like a home movie for you?
I really don't watch movies.
Oh,
I haven't watched
so
a movie
you're too busy
in
playing
years.
Nintendo? Right? You're too busy playing Pac-Man?
Perhaps. I mean, if you've ever played Double
no,
Dribble,
the
you, can under, you can understand then why I might be not interested in movies these
Clark
days.
Got her headphones off. She doesn't want to hear this anymore.
Yeah.
No, I haven't watched the movie in years. Why not?
Well, I've watched some.
What's the last
movies,
movie you saw? Tootsie?
Last movie I saw was Bad News Bears, the original unedited version.
Of what?
Bad News Bears.
The last movie you saw was Bad News Bears.
That's right.
When it came out?
No, just the other night.
Oh, so I thought you haven't watched a movie in years.
Depends on what you
you're the worst.
What you mean by that.
You are This is the third time you've called the show, right?
It is.
I can say this. You emailed me. This guy emailed me. He wants to be a character on the show. It's not happening. I'm not going to work into the fabric of the show like you begged me in the email. It's not happening. You're not that interesting. You sent me some thing that was like some video. I deleted it the second I got it. I'm not going to watch it. It's going to be like 8mm, right?
It's a little bit larger than that.
You're so boring. That's your biggest sin. You're boring.
Hey, at least I'm a consistent, constant caller.
You're boring. It's a problem. You're boring. What's that like? You thought all of the sins you committed in this world, you think of all the ones you thought you'd be labeled with. You know which one you're labeled with? Boring.
Boring, huh?
You're boring.
I got to go to sleep with that tonight.
Yeah. So what else do you want to talk about?
I really.
That's the beauty of that is when he inhales and gets ready to tee off. Well, I want to say this. The show went by like a breeze tonight. Chris Thompson, Dams of the West. You have a couple more shows.
Hopefully more than that, but right now there's only.
That's all that's on the books. A festival show and a local gig.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Right. Yeah, it is nice. Which one are you going to say?
Whatever one Erica Badu's at.
Uh-huh.
Is she going to be at Babies All Right?
Is
that a double bill?
I'll put a text in, yeah, I'll say.
You guys flip a coin backstage.
It's a co-headline and it's sort of alternate.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The album's really great.
Thank you very much.
I heard it a while ago, and I like it so much. And congratulations on doing something that's not easy to do.
Thank you.
You did it. You're up front now. When you go back, is it going to feel like a demotion now? You're just like, just like looking at the back of Ezra's head, and you're just like, right? You're just like,
no, man, I'm going to be back there with my Colorado Kool-Aid.
Nice. Just be like,
slapping the tubs.
Just picturing the waiting.
I get to sit down the whole show, too.
That's true. Just be picturing that next Dams of the West show.
That's
counting it down.
That I can assure you that won't be the case. I think they're sort of concurrent things. I'm incredibly happy with both. Feel very, very blessed.
And look, 2018 Vampire Weekend, is that what we're looking at? I know when it's ready, it's ready.
Who knows?
Right?
I guess.
Not going to go to 2019.
You never know in this crazy
it's
world.
It's not going to 2000. You know it's 2018. Look. You can't say it. He's nodding his head. No, he's not nodding his head. He's gonna get in trouble. I don't want you to get in trouble. No, I don't want Bayo to pull up here and start slapping you around.
He would. He would do.
Bayo, his solo record was good, too. His was really good.
Yeah.
His was Bayo.
He had a more interesting. He has a more interesting name than me.
Bayo.
That's a, mm-hmm. You know. I'm just Chris Thompson. That's very interesting.
Just CT.
CT's CT. Cool.
But it was so great to have you here, and I'm so glad you came. You come anytime you want, Chris.
Thank you so much.
Claire O'Kane.
Yeah.
Thank you for coming. You're always, it's always a highlight. I'm so happy you live here now, because then you
Super
can
Claire.
Swing by. Super Claire.
Yeah, Super
right?
Claire. Yeah. Thanks for having me.
Of course. Thanks for coming by.
I'm sorry I was so tired.
No, you're not.
I had to work at the butcher shop.
I never would have known that.
Really?
At all. No, no.
Well, I've slumped.
I thought of the fact you're covered in blood. You have chicken gizzards in your hoodie. And I want everybody to know this. This is something that is pertinent to everyone. This Sunday, the Macaulay Culkin Show.
Oh, yeah.
The Summer Comedy Fest. Is that what it is? The final show at Shea Stadium in Brooklyn. We got Joe Firestone.
The best.
She is the best. Dave Hill. He's great.
The best.
You're on his show every other week. not into it, but it's what? A little.
It was just two times.
Who's this third one here, Pat?
Let me see.
Hold on, let me see.
Who's the third with the J?
Joe Parra?
Joe Parra.
Oh, Joe Parra, yeah, okay. And then my buddy Connor O'Malley will be there. He's
so
great.
Funny.
He is funny. I hung out with him the other night. He's a good guy. Nice guy, nice guy. Claire O'Kane will be there, and Pat Byrne, and more.
Nice guys.
Yeah, they didn't invite me, but, you know.
Why didn't you just...
That's fine. That's... Yeah, sold out four shows at Bell House. I couldn't really do this.
Shea Stadium.
Shea Stadium.
Yeah.
Little promoters won't be happy if I'm listed on a thing. You know what that's like.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
Just like, it's the market. It's a major market. And okay. If I'm on this bill, it blows my
it's going to take tickets off the table.
Yeah, it takes tickets off. Exactly. The quote goes down the toilet.
I'll get you a Lammy.
Wait, what?
Lammy. How about that?
Boing. Lammy. No, it's...
To this $5 show.
So this Sunday is the final Macaulay Culkin show, and it's Brett Davis, of course.
The best. Also the best.
They all can't be the best.
They're, but in the, you know...
Look, I'll say this.
Everyone's the best.
Brett Davis, Joe Firestone, Dave Hill, Connor O'Malley, Joe Pera, Claire O'Kane, Pat Byrne. This kind of is the best.
Isn't Mary Hooley on it?
Mary Houlihan.
I think she's on
Sarah,
it too.
It's my friend. These are all my children. Except Dave Hill, who's like not...
Your age.
Yeah, it's my age. They're not my children. Connor O'Malley's cool. He'll be here. We're going to have Connor up soon.
Really?
We're going to have Brett soon.
Good.
Joe, hopefully, will come back. Hooley will be here in a couple weeks, hopefully. Fun, fun, fun. Everyone, I will be not here next week. I will be at the Strand Bookstore in New York City hosting a conversation with author Dave Weigel about his book, The Show That Never Ends. And that will be, that's his book on Prague. It's going to be a great night. If you are here, you should go to it. I know they have tickets available on the website, and you can get a signed book. I'm not signing any of the books because it's not my book. That would be inappropriate. But, you know. Yeah, I'm going to miss a week on the show. So it's... We've done 6 months of shows straight through. In 2017, some kind of year, man, right? Did anybody think this is what this year would be? I don't think so. Not me. But, you know, we try. It's all we can do. So we try. I bottomed out earlier this year. Man, that car crash I was in, holy guacamole. And all the work stuff. But you know what? It's in the past now. I'm trying to do my own thing. Get it going. Just trying to take care of business the way I can. And you know, sometimes you wonder if you got it. You know what I mean? Because, see, you're the last one to know if you have it. Is everyone laughing at you? Does everybody know that you don't have it? That, am I suddenly on the outside looking in on my own life? Am I the clown in my own story when I thought I was the hero? No! You know what? Maybe I am the clown in my own story. Who cares? It's my story. And I know I'm not the clown. Right, Mike? Ah, you're drunk. You don't know what you're talking about. Mike threw up on himself. So... Apparently, that Shrimp Connect isn't doing right by him. He's got an upset stomach. So, I don't know who I am in my own story. Maybe I'll be the last one to realize everybody else knows that I don't have it, and it's a joke, and it's funny watching me flail. But you know what? Maybe I'm just like Don Quixote. Remember him? Don Quixote, a fool. Am I like Don Quixote? Well, you know what? If I'm a fool and I'm out there being a fool and it's making people feel better about themselves, they can laugh at me, laugh with me. I don't care. Just keep laughing because that's what the best show's been doing this long. We bring it. I've been doing this stupid thing since Bill Clinton was president. Wrap your head around that for a minute. Since Bill Clinton was president, I've been talking into a microphone, bringing the larfs to you every week, and I'm going to keep doing it. This one dude's president, there'll be another one and another one, and I'll still be here. Am I the fool? I don't care. But you know what? I'm not the fool, and you know it. Because you know what? You know what I am. It's the best. I'm the best. It's the best show. We will not be back next week. I'm going to be at the Strand Bookstore. I'll see you in 2 weeks. Good night!